The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. The gang is all here today for another 2 hours of Patriots talk, and hopefully we're going to see the end of the lockout today, although I got a feeling it might be another day or so, because seems to be some roadblocks that they need to figure out. But anyway, we'll be here keeping the flame burning as we have all offseason. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred is all here in the booth. The other Kevin, the good Kevin?
Good Kevin.
Good Kevin.
And yeah. Is it Ray? It's Rachel, right? Rachel. Okay. We call you Rach?
Oh, boy.
Or O?
Oh, boy. Turn the mic on.
You can call me Rach.
What do people that know you call you?
Ray-Ray.
Ray-Ray. So we have our own Ray Lewis.
That will sound
Ray-Ray.
Very creepy if
okay.
You do that.
And
do you put your pants on one leg at a time like every man?
Yeah.
All right.
And they
she's
call
a
me
woman. Not a man.
They call me Rochelle at KSP, so you can call
well,
me.
Well, okay. I see what you did there.
We like nicknames to make it shorter than the actual.
I know. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Originally,
but Maddie No Socks, you know.
Right.
Fans
right.
love him.
All right. So
no, B-Lo had to have made up the Rochelle.
No, it was Bob.
Oh.
I think B-Lo came up with Tex. That was the first name, and I was like, why are you calling me Tex? And because my last name is Amarillion, which sounds like
Amarillo.
Yeah. And I was like, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's a long way to grandma's house.
Amarillo.
Yeah. Let's with the Rachel.
Anytime the explanation takes longer than the actual shortening of the name, then.
We'll go with Rach.
Oh, bueno. Rach or Ray-Ray. I like Ray-Ray.
All right. Well,
we've gone down
another path
Ray-Ray.
Here for the beginning of the show. But
not a good one.
That's great. So let's obviously, the sad news that came yesterday was the passing of Myra Kraft. So we begin the show by, sending our condolences to the Kraft family. It was just a sad thing to find out for everybody, because she was a great lady. She really was. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do all this philanthropic stuff, and they're out in the spotlight all the time at the social circuit and. You know, and they do good things, but a lot of them are fraudulent. You know, they're frauds. She was not a fraud.
I wish we had gotten to know her better.
Yeah, she was the real deal.
From everything that everyone who knows her has
liked there was one of the hospitals last night, one of their directors or something was talking about her and said the most interesting thing he found was that she was always most comfortable at any of the events with the staff or the people just working the event or the regular chair.
Yeah.
Not the, you know, this guy gave $100 million, so he's coming. She avoided that and was just working with the people that ran the charity.
Oh, and I'll tell you something, you know, because I got to know her fairly well, you know, over the years, and she could point out a fraud when she saw one. She saw through that
good
nonsense.
BS detector.
Oh, she had a good BS detector. Yeah. So that's probably why. You know,
right.
So many of these people are just, you know, in it for the limelight,
right,
and all
the
that.
PR.
And she wasn't. And
that's why you didn't know, by the way, about a lot of the stuff. I've learned a lot of things. I knew a lot of the stuff she was involved in.
Yeah.
But then in reading some of this stuff, I've learned a lot of stuff. I did, you know, South America and all these places.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, literally, she had a global reach in terms
of
charity.
She really did. In fact, she brought Elton John over to Israel first time back in, you know, when they first bought the stadium before they even owned the Patriots. She had a little concert production company called, I think it was Gem Productions, and bringing concerts to Foxborough Stadium, but also out to other places. And so she did unbelievable stuff. And, you know, it's really a shame. Too soon, 68 years old.
Yeah.
Effing cancer. You know, yeah. It's, so, you know, what are you going to, you know, I don't know what else to say. I really
well,
don't.
Well,
yeah.
You're
sure
right.
Laughing wasn't appropriate.
No, I'm at a loss for words.
I the reason why I started laughing is, I think Eric is right. It's unfortunate that we, Andy, Eric, and I, didn't get the opportunity to sort of interact all that often. But the couple of times that I did, and one I remember specifically in San Diego with you, Fred, just how, like,
I think that was the last time we actually saw
you
her.
Came down that day, too, and just the way that she interacted with Robert. Like, they just had, like, this great back and forth, and you know, they were together for so long, and then, you know, you had a little bit of a relationship with her, but from everything that you read yesterday, I don't think that was just the average glowing tributes to, you know, someone who passed away.
Right.
I think there was a little bit more to some of those, and they weren't just from sports writers. They were, you know, some news people. As Andy mentioned, the CEOs of the hospitals. I know I can't think of the guy's name now. My wife would kill me, but the CEO of Mass General,
yeah,
spoke so highly of her all the time. And
and I think that's why so many of the players spoke out yesterday, because, like Andy said, she got along with them at a real level. It wasn't just a, you know, hey, how are you, you know, and then looking around the room to see who else is there.
Right.
You know, she interacted with people on a personal, real level, and she was no BS, and she knew who else wasn't BS.
Yeah,
and those are the people that she helped.
You saw all the different players, and one, you know, talking about, they made the football football family. It was, and I think that she gets a lot of credit for that.
She brought family and charity to football.
To football,
you know,
right.
The whole charitable foundation, but also getting players like Matt Light and others to feel the need to start their own foundations, do their own things. I think that all trickled down from her.
He said that. That was
no
impressive.
Question.
You know, Andy's right.
And the other thing I heard, and I don't know, unfortunately, I don't know the whole story, but from what I'm told, Troy Brown has a story that he was going to quit, and she stopped him. Troy, there's some tale that his whole career is thanks to her. He was considering quitting, and somehow
you
she
mean back
convinced,
in the early
yeah,
90s?
When he was getting cut, when he was
mid-90s?
In the 90s? Yeah, no. And she was kind of the mama bear or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, very interesting. I didn't hear that. You know, a little inside thing that I just found out just before the show. We were supposed to, and I say we, KSP, Crass Sports Productions, was heading to Montana to sit down with Drew Bledsoe, you know, as part of an interview for his induction to the Hall of Fame. Well, he canceled that because he said, I'll get you guys there because he's coming.
Right.
You know, he's on his way here. You know, he's out in Montana. He's, what, four years removed from his NFL career, going on five, and, you know, close to 10 years removed now from the New England Patriots. He's, you know, he's planning on going to the services and the funeral and whatnot. I don't think just anybody's owner's wife gets that kind of treatment.
No, no. She was the real deal. All that in a bag of chips, as they say. So,
or as Craig would say.
Yeah. So it's sad. It happened way, way too soon. And, it's a big loss. I mean, it's going to be different at a game to mm-hmm. see him without her. It's going to be different. So.
Yeah. Andy and I were talking yesterday about how the impression you don't normally associate owners at this level of play being widowers. It's a little strange. You know, normally it's the impression you get is the old rich guy who owns a team, and then, you know, eventually he passes on, and then the wife or the family or the kids take over. You don't really hear about it in the where the old man is the widower now. It's just a strange circumstance.
But you never see, or you rarely see them the two owner and wife so together all the mm-hmm. time. It's always the owner and the wife's in the background somewhere.
Right.
But she had her own identity with the team and in the community that although they were together, it was uniquely her own identity. She had her own stuff going on. It wasn't just stuff that he did that mm-hmm. she helped out with. She had her own stuff that she did. And, you know, she was very...
With the philanthropy.
You mean, yeah, right? all the and businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, and she, you know, she was completely independent that way, but they were also a powerful couple together. Most of these owners, like, I don't know who Arthur Blank's wife is or, you know, Jerry Jones's wife or any of the, have you ever?
I think I've seen Jerry Jones's wife, but.
Yeah.
But not Arthur Blank or pretty much anybody else for that matter.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you Jerry Jones's wife. I can't remember any of them.
Now, maybe
the only other wife that I can remember being this influential or this much in the spotlight was Georgia Frontier.
Right. Because she ended up taking over
the team.
Right.
Yeah, but she was pretty – that's an example. She was – even before that, she was pretty much higher profile than most of the wives.
Right.
And Benson's wife wore the big hat out on the field last year.
Yeah, but
lady right. friend, as you refer to
I wasn't sure it was the wife's, I did put lady friend.
Yeah, you know. And I don't know if the rest of the country would say they knew who Myra Kraft was before yesterday either. I don't know that.
Right.
I would think most Patriots fans would, though.
No, I mean, if you weren't.
No, but, yeah. But
I think you would, though, because in all those pictures, she's jumping up and down next to Robert, and they've won 3 Super Bowls, whereas did Robert Irsay's wife, was she jumping up? Maybe I didn't notice it.
Right.
You know, I can remember
but that's my point.
Bill Cowher's wife.
I'm sure there was somebody next to, you know.
And Kurt Warner's wife, but I don't necessarily remember the Steelers
box, I'm sure there were, you know, family members, you know, female Rooneys that we just didn't know who they were.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm wondering if you're in, you know, Nebraska. Yeah, you saw that woman next to Robert Kraft that was celebrating. I assume it's his wife, but you know,
lady friend. That's what they wrote somewhere else. Lady friend.
But you know, I will say, I'd like to clear up one myth, and maybe I'm speaking out of school saying this, but you know, I hear all these people, well intentioned, giving their tributes to Myra on TV and saying how you know she was always telling Robert, you know, you can't take this guy, you can't take that guy because of all. That's a lot of BS. She wanted to win just as much as Robert did, and she was smart enough to know these guys aren't all Boy Scouts, and you can't have a team full of altar boys. And she was not like that. She was not – she spoke out about Christian Peter, but other people did too, and that pressured Robert to, you know, relinquish that pick. And that was had to do with, you know, female abuse, you know, and the whole thing about Terry Glenn, that was an off-the-cuff remark. She was not one of these, you know, people that were telling her husband, you got to do this, you got to do that. She knew what it took to win in the NFL, that you can't have a team full of choir boys. So
plus
she
was the head of the Boys and Girls Club of Boston. She understands the real world.
Right.
She's not dealing with choir boys.
Right.
And not all of them are terrible. I mean, they do bad things. She's trying to help them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's the approach she took to some of these guys. There were guys on this team that weren't, you know, choir boys, but she hugged him after the game and gave him because what she did.
On the other hand, she did keep the focus on charitable endeavors and philanthropy for Robert a lot. And, you know, no doubt about that, mm-hmm. that she kept his eye on the ball there. There's no doubt about that. But as far as personnel, that stuff is kind of the urban myth.
Right.
You know, it's not exactly 100% true.
You know, what I found most interesting as well in some of the stuff I read about her is the I didn't know when she was the head of the Boys and Girls Club, they actually changed the bylaws so she could continue longer. She was basically George Washington or whatever. You know, they wanted her to stay on.
Yeah.
And I think you had a 4-year limit and they expanded it to 6. And then she said, I'm just going to step down now. But they changed the bylaws of the entire organization. It's not like she was the first good person to run the organization, but it's the first time they decided we don't want this person leaving.
And she was tough when she didn't agree with something. I mean, she didn't have a temper, but she was tough. She would tell you straight up.
She was kind of like the Teddy Roosevelt of that organization.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to make George Washington king, basically.
Yeah.
But did she ever yell at you?
Franklin Roosevelt.
Did she ever yell at me? No.
No.
No. I hope I never gave her reason to.
I'm sure you did.
It's too bad. Anyway, and I guess if you want to send emails, we've got emails coming in, and they want to know where to send them. You know, you can send them to that front office off of Patriots.com, and that will all go there. And
there is also a scholarship fund.
Yep. So. If you look at the press release on Patriots.com, you can see where, in lieu of flowers, you can send donations to a fund that was special to her. And if you do want to send a card, 1 Patriot Place, Foxborough, Mass. 02035. So,
my concern right now, too, is for Robert.
Yes.
And what he's dealing with, not just with this, but he's had this and the labor thing going on for all of this time. You know, he's had to know, you know, what his wife's condition has been and how, you know, he's probably seen that she's been on the decline, and he's had to deal with all of this business stuff and, you know, what his frame of mind is, what his health is. You know, I'm a little concerned about what, you know, what's going on with him right now, too.
Yeah.
Well, I actually think in some way, you know, not to be insensitive, but in some ways he had something to focus on also. The concern for me anyway, at least I've dealt with these, sometimes you get to that point where, well, now everything else is done, the CBA's done, and now we're at opening day. And
right, and it hits you.
At opening day, I usually go with my, you know, you start to do things and go through events and life, that's going to suck.
So he's going to need support, and luckily he has a, you know, good family around him that can be there for him because, you know, like Jonathan and Dan and, you know, Josh, they have families too now, you know, so they have, but, you know, he had Myra.
Right.
And, you know, she's gone now. So I'm with you, Eric. He's going to need support.
Yeah. I mean, they were together almost 50 years.
Yeah.
As far as being a married couple.
Right.
So it was 50 years if you include, you know, their time before they got married.
Right. Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Or even more than that.
Legitimately together. Some of these, like, power couples,
they're
together, but they're not.
Right.
You know, they spend half, you know, 3 months apart or this or that. They were legitimately together.
Yeah, they acted like sweethearts up until...
Well, that's what he always called her that.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, a little awkward, but...
Yeah, to the point where it made us all uncomfortable. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
PDAs from 60-year-olds are a little...
No, but they were truly best friends.
Yep.
And they treated each other that way. You know, they busted each other's balls when they had to, and were lovey-dovey when they wanted
to. But to think that he was, you know, he is considered, if not the most influential, one of the most influential figures of this whole negotiation, and to think that he was going, as Eric said, to going through that while dealing with, you know, knowing how sick his wife was is truly remarkable.
It is. So, all right. We'll move on from there. But of course, you know, we open the show sending our condolences out to the Kraft family. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. The lockout. All right. So
we're still not there yet.
It's not done. It's done. It's not done.
It's not
Ron Borges is having Twitter fights with Florio on
very entertaining,
on Twitter,
by the way.
You know, and you know,
today
it's yesterday. It's come to that where... Now,
the one day I don't follow it, I miss everything.
Tremendous.
Twissing matches, we've taken to calling them. That's a Belo coin phrase. Yes, Twitter pissing matches.
Oh, okay.
Twissing matches.
Twissing matches. You know,
Belo needs to learn how to do regular English before he creates other words.
But, Paul, you might want to go back and find it because it's very entertaining, and it's another example of how Borges can be 100% wrong and still win the argument because he's a good fighter.
He's telling a lawyer over there, he doesn't know anything about law.
And it kind of ended with Florio saying, I practiced law for 18 years. I think I know blah, blah, blah. And immediately Borges replies with, sounds like you need a little more practice then. And he was 100% wrong. Borges had no idea what he was talking about. Even I know that, and I didn't know anything about law.
The crux of the argument was this Brady versus the NFL thing where, you know, it's not going to end without some type of ask for a settlement, and that Mankins and Vincent Jackson could be sticklers. And Florio was saying, no, when you sign on to a class action suit, you agree to the class settlement. You don't then go and strike your own deal. And Borges was disagreeing with that.
Borges didn't understand that the named plaintiffs were just part of the bigger lawsuit, all 1,900. That's what class action means.
Right.
And Florio tried to explain it to him, and they just kept going back and forth with pissiness,
you know,
or twissiness.
Right.
You know, so a part of the settlement could be anyone in this situation gets this. But, you know, so if you were in the situation of Vincent Jackson and Rankins, you could get something.
Right.
But that would have to be for everyone in that situation.
Well, they can also, I forgot the legal term, but they can opt out. They can somehow remove themselves from the class action and basically become their own lawsuit.
And then you have to have your own suit.
Right.
Right? It's not part of that class action.
Right. But as of right now, they are simply named plaintiffs within the entire lawsuit.
So there was all this stuff about that, you know, that the Mankins and Jackson thing could hold things up. Then there was a report that neither of them wanted anything, that, you know, they were happy. Now there's another report saying that they, in fact, do want something.
Despite the fact that Jackson tweeted that
he didn't want anything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who knows? And I think to Borges's point, you don't know until this is all over.
But this is the biggest event of the NFL Twitter era. Because we are seeing, yesterday afternoon it was, a vote took place, a vote didn't take place,
a conditional vote
took place,
yeah.
Here's the vote, you know, blah, 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 and it was coming fast and furious, and it was, none of it was valuable because it was all partial information.
If you want to use history as a guide, though, I would be very surprised if, whether it's Mankins or Jackson or Breeze or Manning or any of those four in question who were reported to be asking for something, aren't really asking for something. Because if you go back to 93... when they had the Reggie White lawsuit, those plaintiffs ended up getting the exemption from the franchise tag for the remainder of their careers. And if you use that as sort of a model, I would tend to think that these guys are asking for something. What exactly that is, nobody knows. And contrary to the reports and the tweets that the players themselves are putting out, I would be shocked if they're not trying to get something out of this that will benefit them.
Oh, I mean, if I was
in order to settle.
I was Vincent Jackson's agent and I could get 3% of $10 million, I'd be asking for it.
Or Frank Bauer, the mean old cuss who,
you know,
been putting his foot down left and right for the last year and a half. He could put his foot down.
Have we figured
doesn't
out
hurt to ask?
Have we figured out if Mankins has asked or not?
We have not. We have not heard a word.
Because they
Mankins.
Continue to write that.
Yeah.
Even though. There was some reports that said that Mankins has not requested any financial
calls to Frank Bauer have been
unreturned.
Right,
but they continue to write that it's both Jackson and Mankins asking for $10 million.
Right.
Which I don't think is fair.
It's not true.
I don't know.
But if it weren't true and I were Logan Mankins, I would want that. Wouldn't you want to wouldn't you want to set the record straight?
Well, you don't want to say anything because let's put it this way. If Jackson gets it, if he's asking and he gets it, they're going to have to give it to Mankins, right? Because as soon as they say you get it, then if I'm Frank Bauer, we want it too.
Right, but
this
gets
back to your Kramer thing.
So it's better to let...
If you're Mankins, you don't say, I don't want the 10 million. Right. Well, we were actually just writing the check for 10 million.
Let Vincent Jackson do the dirty work, and we'll take it, you know?
Plus, the communication lines aren't great. I saw McLean from Baltimore
Laron McLean.
Tweeted... Why didn't we vote today? What's going on? How come nobody's telling us anything? So I don't know what Mankins does or doesn't know, where he is, what he's doing. I mean,
but he may
literally just be letting Frank Bauer handle the whole damn thing and say, call me when
I think
you
they
need
would.
Me.
I think they would make that language generic enough that it would apply to everybody in that situation, not just specifically, all right, Vincent Jackson, you're getting.
Well, the question is how many people are in that situation? I mean, do you have to give $10 million to everybody if there's like 20 people? You know, you're talking $200 million. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, but they're all in different situations.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, how
they're
why,
the
why you
would have specific restricted free agent guys who didn't get to free agency who are now franchised. They are a very specific class of individuals within the class.
If it's three or four, maybe they do give them all something.
PA pay them?
Why couldn't the PA pay them? I don't know.
You know, if literally, if two guys, if it's 1,888 guys and two guys are holding it up because they want $10 million, and the NFLPA has this huge lockout fund, and for the better good, they write the check to Logan Mankins.
I mean, there's a principle there on both sides that you, you just don't give in to that type of stuff.
Because then you have 1,900 other players who could potentially would be going to their union reps and saying that they want something for... Yeah, it's a slippery slope, I think, to have the...
Well, the good news is that some way or form, this is going to get done, and there's going to be a season.
Hopefully.
I
get worried with these... You know, it was all done, it was all assumed. Now it seems like everybody and their brother's pumping the brakes here. Kevin Mawai pumping, you know, we didn't have any July 21st deadline. That had nothing to do with us. We're not going to accept this till the deal is the right deal for us. And
Latest tweet, Michael Lombardi saying DeMaurice Smith has asked player reps to be available for a conference call tonight.
Okay. You know, I think, but I from the owner's side, I think they're done. I think they're ready to vote on it. Jeff Pasch had a quote this morning. I would hope, you know, that the players are ready to vote.
On the settlement.
Yeah, on the settlement. He wasn't talking about the CBA.
I don't know. Oh. That's what's also getting confused. Is the settlement versus the CBA?
Oh, okay.
And doesn't the settlement also have to be approved
by the courts?
By the courts?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because isn't that how it works? Like, even do you agree to this? Do you agree to this? And
right.
The judge has to oversee.
But that's the other thing. You know, if I'm the courts. Mm. And all of a sudden you got your settlement, and now this whole decertification. Mm-hmm. You use the taxpayers' dollars to do this, and
now
it's just all gone.
You're right.
Maybe they're going to hold their feet to the fire a little bit too, and say, "Hey, this isn't so easy.
Yeah,
you can't just decertify and recertify and use the courts and the taxpayers' dollars
at
your whim."
Boy, I'm mildly worried.
Boy just had something about that too today, talking about your tweet wars and whatnot. Just saying, you know. You can't just snap your fingers. I think Andrew Brandt, who was on that side, you know, involved in that side of things, says it's not as easy as decertifying to recertify. It's not a snapping of the fingers. And Borges said if you can do that in a day, that's a sham.
That's a total sham. And he's right. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be that easy, you know. Otherwise, you would be using, you know, unions would be doing this all the time. You know, when you become a union, you get exemptions, antitrust exemptions. And
There's that whole Norris LaGuardia Act that the league was citing.
Right.
Where you can't use decertification as the bargaining chip in negotiations.
Right. So there's something to be said about that. But you would think that they would have factored in the time to recertify into all of this, you know, which tells you either they weren't thinking like that or they did and other things have delayed this to the point now where they're up against it.
You know? Or people were just being too optimistic about how close they were, when they could get this thing done.
Yeah.
What did I see today? It was a 400-page document?
Yeah. Well, that's
right
not
now.
Surprising. I mean, you've seen the CBA book. It's a thick book.
Well, I've seen the PDF of the last one, which is pretty long. But
60% of it might be cut and pasted.
Exactly.
They can tell you nothing has changed in these 250 pages.
It could, yeah.
Maybe we'll get $47 for our per diem instead of, what do we get now?
45. Yeah.
We also don't want them to rush, because last time they rushed, they opted out of the agreement 2 years later.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's get this one done so it's a true 10-year deal.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So what else do we have other than the lockout?
By the way, a lot of players been tweeting about they're in Foxborough, getting to Foxborough, ready to go.
Yeah.
So they're certainly ready to hit the ground running amid the reports that the Packers, in fact, told people to be.
And I heard all the 49ers.
On Saturday, right?
The 49ers are telling people to get ready for physicals. That's I saw a tweet along those
How
lines.
Are they
yeah, exactly.
supposedly doing this if the lockout hasn't been lifted?
I think the commissioner told every owner, we're not going to publicize it, but you do what you need to do to be ready to go, and we won't pursue it after this finalized. Right. We're not going to fine anybody.
Right. Now, as far as you know, specific Patriots news, we don't know when training camp is going to start. We don't know what the rules are going to be around training camp and double session. We've heard rumors, but we don't know. As soon as we do know, we'll publish that stuff on Patriots.com and get all that stuff out. So, you know, we're going to try to be as up on that as we can and get that stuff out. to the public as soon as possible, because people, you know, want to know. A lot of people plan trips and around training camp. It's a great take.
Yeah.
You know,
It used to be when it was double sessions, but that's a rant for another day when we do know what the rules will be.
I think
save it for your commentary.
I think a Shell's walkthrough is just as good if they're signing afterwards. You know.
Oh, I don't. Because I think part of it is seeing actual
you
NFL contact.
But I think a lot of the kids come.
But a lot of the kids don't recognize their favorite players when they're in the t-shirts.
Well,
and the
I
shorts.
Think they should have to wear their.
They want to see them bang
jerseys. I think during a walkthrough, they should have to wear their jerseys for the fans.
Yeah.
But other than that, if they're signing afterwards, that's what most of the kids come for. I don't think they care about.
For kids, yeah.
For kids.
I would agree
and that's
with
all
you
I care
kids.
About. I just care about the kids.
Well, fair enough. Jonathan, by the way, according to all the people on hand in Atlanta, getting a lot of well wishes from, you know, the fellow owners and whatnot. Tom Curran says that Jonathan, on the passing of his mother, she was the glue that held our family together. And he, by the way, expresses thanks for all the well wishes that he has received.
And I give him a lot of credit, too, for having to step in for his dad at this
point. I can't believe he's down there.
I can't believe they couldn't have their vote be done.
As in
some
a proxy.
Other way.
You can't
yeah.
send Floyd Reese or something.
Have a proxy.
Or have
exactly.
a proxy. You know, I
or just have a video screen set up. I mean, in this day and age, you can't vote
yeah.
by video
yeah,
conference
I
call.
I can't imagine having to do that. You know, I know they've had time to prepare. You know, this has been something that Myra battled for a couple years, but still.
That doesn't make it any.
No, it doesn't.
Here's another good quote, by the way, from Jonathan on his mom. Anything my father has achieved in life, and he would agree, is really an achievement between my mother and father.
Yeah. Mm. As all good partnerships are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one hand helps the other.
From a good partnership to a not-so-good one, though, Mort Report, his latest tweet, one issue very real, he's in D.C., I guess, watching over the players' meeting. One issue very real Wednesday in D.C. players' meeting is some don't see wisdom in reconstituting as a union, which protects NFL on antitrust.
Right, but what, I mean, who are the some? There's no doubt in the legitimacy of that statement. Of course, it protects the NFL. That's the whole point. But why bring that up now?
To explain, I guess, what some of the holdup is for this.
Then if that's the case and it's more than just a few people thinking it within
then
the players' ranks, then they have a bigger problem than we know.
Yeah.
You know, and the league has, you know, the whole NFL has a bigger problem. If that's the case, if it's more widespread than just a smattering. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline if you want to call in. You know, it's kind of this what you guys have just did. You know, Jonathan seeing, Paul seeing Jonathan's quote and you seeing, that's kind of like the pregame social. That's how the pregame social is going to be.
Yes.
It won't be necessarily, you know, Paul and Andy, you know, being distracted and on their iPhones, but we'll have it.
Like we are now.
Yeah, we'll actually have two.
What'd you say?
What kind of cookies do we have,
we'll
by the
actually
way?
Have,
speaking of distractions.
We'll have two producers during that show who will be helping them.
And good Kevin's going to be one
right.
of them, right?
Keeping track of the.
Unfortunately, so will bad Kevin, right?
Keeping track of all that's being said out there about the
They're
game
They're starting to get
up.
A little uncomfortable with our bad Kevin bashing.
You know, so. So
Ray
know.
Ray not going to be part of the pregame social, or do we not know yet?
They keep saying on Facebook they confuse me with the other Kevin.
No, you're a good Kevin.
Yeah, they don't understand it's two different Kevins.
You got to boost the levels up a little bit there, bro.
Bro?
Bra.
What are you, a lacrosse player?
We do that. I do that for Paul on purpose because I know Paul hates that.
All you need is the pow-pow that Brandon Spikes will put at the end of it.
All right. So we've kind of set the table. Anything else before we take a break? Anything Patriots-related? News from players?
G-Force is going through the car wash at ESPN today.
Yeah, G-Force. Okay.
With the rest of the Gronks.
With the rest of the Gronks.
Yeah, so he was on all those shows on ESPN this morning.
Yep, still going through it, apparently.
Anything else?
Kevin Falk said if he
yes.
can't play for the Patriots, he won't play for anyone.
Interesting.
Ain't going to play for no one.
Didn't say it quite that eloquently.
tried to. And that's pretty much
we
it.
We love Kevin
Ain't
Falk.
No one.
We love Kevin.
So we do have a lot of emails, which we'll get to as soon as we take this break, and so we'll be right back.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email. guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault.
No, that's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm still talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the A-State Ticket Hotline, and web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Before we get to the emails, I did have my colonoscopy yesterday.
Was it a pleasurable experience, as Paul?
It was.
Paul's was.
I went to the aptly named endoscopy department.
Emphasis on the end,
right? And but as opposed to Paul, who had a very pleasurable experience, I don't remember a damn thing. I remember them saying, "Okay, roll over on your side," and then the next thing I know, it was done. So
maybe that's what makes it a pleasurable experience.
I guess, but I missed out on all the fun that Paul had. I mean, Paul was like watching TV while it was going on and seeing the thing go up him and
drinking
and all that.
Drinking Miller Lights.
Yeah, I don't remember a darn thing. So
better that way.
You know,
Paul's
although
not joining in on the
although
fun
I do
here.
Think there might have been some funny business while I was
why is that?
Like at home, I caught a glimpse of my ass in the mirror and somebody had written their phone number on one of my cheeks.
It wasn't funny the first time you told it.
I was going to try a preemptive strike there, but I couldn't get there.
I wanted him to do it again.
Anyway, no.
Although you did come into work afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised.
And Eric was
at that.
Surprised, to which I said, "Why, Eric, you come in on Mondays after a long weekend?"
Right. Right. No, I felt fine. And
I am sick of things coming in and out of my ass.
I mean, they told me I shouldn't drive or make any big decisions. But
so you're not going to approve the doubling of our salaries after all?
I felt okay, so I drove into work.
You didn't drive.
I did.
You were driven.
No, when I got home.
Drove.
No, I got driven home, but when I got home, I drove here. So
yeah, and then what'd you have for lunch?
Qdoba.
After they told you what?
To have more fiber?
Yeah.
They told you you might have diverticulitis and you know, you should probably add some fiber.
Right.
And you decided to go out and have Mexican.
And you gave them the dismissive wave of the hand that you were wont to do.
There's no fiber in Mexican food? Huh?
Paul, I was looking for a want with an O. You're letting me down.
No?
Boy, what are you doing?
The lettuce, I guess.
The lettuce and they don't use whole wheat
I don't think so.
Stuff.
Whole wheat wraps?
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's all flour.
Look, the way I figure it, I have the rest of my life to eat more fiber.
Not very much if you don't get started, though.
I was thinking of posting the pictures of my colon on the Facebook page because I do have those photos.
Then it wouldn't be called Facebook anymore.
Oh!
thanks, Rachel. Way to go. Good, sit on your Ray.
We could call it Sit on Your Facebook.
What? You're just... Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we want to get fired.
All right.
Ship has sailed.
Okay. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Let's get to some email, shall we? People are sending condolences, so, as I get them, I'll mention them. Eric in California wants to send his condolences. Consider them sent. Let's see. And Zach from Syracuse writes, and I haven't been able to listen live all summer because I work for a fence company during the summer. Is this Zach from Syracuse, actually? Hold on for a second. Yes, it is. All right. He works for a fence company during the summer when I'm home from school. So I've been downloading the show and was really confused when on Tuesday's show, Fred read an email from Zach from Syracuse. Obviously, it was another Zach, not this one. Ironically enough, at the time of the show, I was installing a fence at a guy's house whose name is Lee Smith.
Oh.
The closer for the Red Sox?
A rookie tight end that we just
drafted. Or the tight end for the Patriots.
Oh. Wasn't there a Lee Smith
on
the Red
Sox? Yes, there was, but I think he was more referring to the rookie tight end.
Oh. Anyway, I have a question about the pass rush. I don't understand why we have to get a guy who has to play on 2 feet to rush the passer. I don't know the exact percentage, but I'm pretty sure the Pats are in a nickel or dime with a four-down lineman defense just as much as the base 34. So why not draft a guy or get a guy in free agency who can put his hand in the dirt and go get the QB in those passing downs and not necessarily ask him to play on 2 feet?
And stick his foot in the ground.
So what's your response to Zach and Syracuse's inquiry?
Look, the whole on 2 feet, I agree with him, is overrated. I mean, the percentage of times that Tully Bandicane drops into coverage and plays in space, quote-unquote, is low. But Bill likes the versatility. Bill doesn't seem like he's putting a lot of one-dimensional players out there. You have to be able to do all the facets of that position, and that's one of them. But he's right. I mean, more often than not, when they are in sub-packages and that position is rushing the passer, a lot of times it's going to be with its hand in the dirt.
What I'd like to know, though, from Bill is why does he prefer to have a guy who's not great at anything, but competent at a bunch of those things, as opposed to the guy who, like, you know, Lawrence Taylor's the obviously highest example, but a guy who can get consistently in the quarterback's face and either sack him or pressure him into throwing a bad pass.
Well, I think that if they had that guy and they thought they could get him, if he was that good, they would. Because Bill has said if he's going to do one thing, he has to do it at the level you're talking about. And I don't think he's opposed to getting that guy, but I think his standards of how good you have to be are a lot different than most other, you know, people drafting.
Absolutely impossible to answer. But
especially when you got food in your mouth.
If Lawrence Taylor was coming out of college right now, do you think the Patriots would draft him?
Right, good question.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
I think I tend to agree with Paul on that.
So it's an unachievable standard, you're saying.
Willie
McGinnis.
They wouldn't, though, Andy, because they had their chance with Robert Quinn. They could have been aggressive and
well,
gone, no.
We'll
but
see
that's
how
assuming
we tune,
you think
yeah.
they are.
Right.
But that's
assuming
that's
you
what Lawrence Taylor was.
Exactly. They didn't know Lawrence Taylor was going
to become
what he did.
It's easy to sit there and say it's going to be a transcendental defensive player who's going to change the game after the fact. They didn't know that when he was coming out of North Carolina.
Exactly. Oh, he wasn't that highly thought of?
Oh, he was like the second overall pick.
Well, that's what I mean.
My guess is other people think that stuff. We don't think
See, I think Bill would have drafted Julius Peppers. I think he would have drafted maybe not Von Miller because he's not the perfect fit, but if Von Miller were a little bit bigger,
I think he would draft Von Miller. I don't think they thought Robert Quinn was that good. That's just my perception.
Yeah, but my perception is that I don't think they would have thought the same
so
of Von Taylor
think they would
coming
take
out
Peppers
of college.
Maybe, if they had had that pick.
Maybe Peppers.
But, I mean, that's what you're talking about, the first or second pick in the draft, and that, if that's what Taylor was.
I think they would have taken, for example, I think they would have taken Marcell Dareus this year if they had the number one overall pick. I think they have they find that position to be
but
safer
because,
or more valuable, whatever way you want to look at it.
But I think that's because of the people that were available. The best pass rusher was Von Miller, and I'm not sold that he can be whatever they want in the outside. I'm not sold on Von Miller, first of all. But I think if a guy they thought was that good, Peppers is the guy that I, you know, in that mold. I'm sure there's other guys if I went and looked at recent drafts, but I think Bill would take Julius Peppers because he says he's what I want. Big, tall, athletic.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
By the way, the Gronkowski brothers are on right now on SportsCenter if anyone wants to tune in.
Right. Brent writes in from Switzerland for my question after catching up on the podcast. Oh. First, he says, though, I missed the first part. Condolences to the Kraft family and Patriots organization on the loss of Myra Kraft. Her loss exceeds far past Patriots Nation and also impacts New England and many charitable communities. Right. For my question, after catching up on the podcast and listening to last Thursday's podcast and the blueprint discussion, would the first level of a player personnel blueprint or game plan be based on the division and then second level other AFC rivals during the season, and perhaps third level the playoffs? For a long time, the Patriots have the personnel to game plan within the AFC East in most seasons versus other AFC opponents. The past two postseasons seems to be a combination of issues to get past the first game. Which player or position, not including outside linebacker, is most important to improve in order to reach the AFC title game in Super Bowl? There's a lot in
there.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand.
First of all,
the blueprint
is more what other teams do to the Patriots. So if you're talking about what the Patriots need to do to,
About the blueprint. You remember that?
Yeah,
in the last show?
Exactly. It's can other teams use the blueprint that the Jets had, or is that just a few teams that can execute?
Right, because somebody wrote in saying Philly had the blueprint in 07. After that game, and then Baltimore had the blueprint, and that's how the discussion got started. And then I think Fred didn't kind of buy into that, but then when we said that the Patriots had a blueprint against somebody, you were like, yes, they do
Pittsburgh.
Have that.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Right.
Pittsburgh.
He didn't buy into blueprints against the Patriots, but they have the blueprint
no.
for other good teams.
Look, I don't think I ever said that they didn't, like the Jets didn't have a blueprint. I think they did. I think they figured out this is how we beat the Patriots, if we can execute it. I think that's a blueprint.
Blueprint is something that's recreatable other teams can use.
But you have to have the personnel to execute.
But then we talked about that, as much as football is a team game, it's all about matchups. Mm-hmm. And you can have a blueprint, but if you don't have the players to execute it,
right.
you're not going to be able to use that blueprint.
Right. And that's what I would answer to the question that was kind of asked for the Patriots' blueprints for beating other teams. Maybe they were more talented. I mean, I still think Bill Belichick is drawing up similar game plans. I think he can target strengths and weaknesses.
And it's the difference between a scheme-based team and just a talented team. The Chicago Bears of 85 did not need a blueprint to beat other teams' offenses. They just could line up and they were better. The Patriots in 2010.
They also did have a pretty good scheme on defense, though, that other teams couldn't stop.
And a pretty good head coach.
Right. In 2010, the Patriots had to scheme against teams. Their defense had to scheme because they didn't have enough talent to just line up and beat guys.
Well, they've always schemed.
Well,
but the scheme worked better because they had better players.
True. Well,
always schemed. It was the old argument. Oh. Is it players or scheme?
No, it's the Patriots. Bill Belichick is a game plan coach. He's a scheme coach. Changes every game. A lot of teams don't do that. A lot of teams, the Tampa 2 teams, specifically on defense, they do what they do. And some of them do it well, some of them
don't.
That's
Mike Tomlin when he was with the Vikings.
Yeah, well, that's what we do.
Yeah, but don't you...
Brad Childress. We wanted to stop the run. Why? They haven't run...
Yeah, but...
They've averaged less than 3 yards a carry all year.
But don't you think when you're as good as the 85 Bears or the Steel Curtain Steelers on defense, you don't really need to scheme?
Bill Belichick's Giants.
Giants. The mid-80s Giants.
And so, you're that good. You can do the same thing every game because you can.
And the Patriots were never that. Whether no, they were good they enough weren't. To be that, maybe they could have been under a different
coach. I think they were good enough to be that in 04. That's it.
That's possible, but we'll never know because they weren't that.
Because I thought...
I mean, wasn't the 04 postseason where they used three different defenses, or was that 03?
Oh, they would definitely continue to be game plan, but I think they were probably
good
enough.
Dramatically, that was the Eagles year, right? No,
yeah.
I mean...
04 was Eagles.
And that was the year they went 4-3 to open the Super Bowl. And Teddy Bruschi talked about three different postseason games. We used three dramatically different game plans and defenses. They didn't... That's not what they believe in. They think that you change it by strengths and weaknesses every week.
That's what Bill thinks. But, matter of fact, that used to lead to some static between Parcells and Belichick back in the 80s when they were so good. You know, and Parcells used to say, will you just sit back and play cover two? And, you know, we don't have to do all these different things. We're good enough to, you know, and that used to cause some problems between
us. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That seems sarcastic.
I know. I didn't know that. I knew that they had issues, but I didn't know that specific was.
No, I think
it's
specifically.
In one of the books, I believe Parcells has written about it.
Specifically, Parcells would
Billy Bennington's book?
Would grow frustrated with Belichick's penchant for always wanting to tinker and change things. Now,
if it ain't broke, don't
fix it. To me, Belichick is right in that argument 95% of the time because few teams are talented enough to just sit there and do whatever they do and not have to worry
about
it.
Was that why Parcells felt that way?
That particular team, I think, was talented enough to do that. And Bill used to say it. Bill Belichick used to say it. He said it to me and Andy once. I know that I don't know if Brian was still here or not, but, you know, we could sit back there and 85-90% of the snap just play 4-3 cover 2 or 3-4 cover 2 rather and not worry about it. You know, we didn't blitz, we just sat there and made the other team
talk about the Giants.
Yeah, we knew the other team wasn't going to be able to make 8, 9, 10 plays without making a mistake and being able to score. We knew they wouldn't be able to do that.
But we don't know the timeline of these two comments.
Exactly.
I mean, there might be years where they were good enough to do that and they did that, and then there were years where Belichick didn't think they were good enough to do that, so he's changing things. But Parcells is thinking, I think we are good enough to do that.
Yeah, and I think in this day and age where I don't think you've seen the likes of a defense like, you know, the 85 Bears. It's hard to put together a team with the salary cap that has so much talent at all those positions where you're just better than the guy you're lining up.
But the game has also grown a lot, I think.
Huge.
Offensively,
that's a huge
you
factor.
Face different offenses week in, week.
Yep.
I think it's more about that chess match now than it was.
They may have been able to do that in 1986, 1987, 1988 with 11 guys. You can't play defense like that anymore.
Yeah.
You need 15, 16 guys on offense and defense now.
So you need to be a tinkerer like Belichick in today's game.
Well, that's why I said 95% of the time I think Belichick is right in that argument. The 85 Bears, the 85 Giants, those specific teams, you might have been able to do it the way Parcells wanted it to be done. Now, in Parcells' defense, maybe he feels the same way now. Yeah, you can't just sit there and do the same thing every play. The way Brad Childress did that Monday night game that me and Andy always make fun of him for. You can't just play cover two every snap, especially against Tom Brady. It's an invitation to give up 40.
You had an interesting tweet earlier, Andy, about teams that were the most blitz teams. Patriots were number 5 overall.
Least blitz. Yes. Manning was the least blitz. Patriots were 5th overall.
Right.
Personally, I think that is ridiculous.
Okay.
No, not the findings. The fact that those two guys. I think if you want to sit back and let those two pick you apart.
I know, but
it's no secret to me that they complete 70% of their
passes.
The
reason I bring this up is
4,000 yards every year.
It relates directly to what we were just talking about in matchups. There's only a few teams that can go haul hog without getting burned. And all you need to do is get burned 4 or 5 times in a game, and it's out of hand. And most teams don't have the personnel to do what the Ravens or the Steelers like to do. Or the Jets. And so, you know, they don't do it as much because they'd rather extend the drive, hope the Patriots make a mistake along the way than give it up in one play. So they don't take
the chance.
But
Brady's not going to make a mistake.
Well,
that's what I think you count on that, against a lot of teams is the other quarterback's just not that good.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's not making it. So, he throw 4?
But it's death by a million cuts or one big gash, you know.
My point is.
Yeah, but if I sit back, it's automatic death by a million cuts. If I go after him, there's a chance that I'm the Bills a couple years ago in the opener and I knock the ball loose and I'm picking it up and all of a sudden you've stunned the Patriots a little bit.
And I'm not advocating just throwing caution to the wind and blitzing the way the Jets have done under Rex Ryan at times where they just say, I don't care who the quarterback, we're coming every play. We're going to just, you know, overload this side. We're going to send
eight
guys.
Because we have Darrelle Revis.
Yeah, I'm not advocating that that's the way that teams should attack Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. What I'm saying is if you don't blitz them, if that's your trend and you've decided they're too good, I can't blitz them, you've lost.
Yeah.
You have to do different
things.
You have
to mix it up.
That's my point.
You have to mix it up.
You have to.
James from Brisbane writes in, first of all, well done to Paul and Eric for their hour with Steve Nelson. That was really entertaining. Two compliments for Eric in 2 weeks. I really need to stop the cold medication. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about sporting events that you wish you were at. I have a game in a similar vein. Has there ever been a game that you have watched that the team you were barracking for? Is that an English, Australian term, Eric? Barracking? I guess he means rooting. That you were rooting for didn't win, but you look back at now and go, that was an awesome game. And I know what Paul's going to say, even though the result still hurts. The two examples I think of are the 06 AFC Championship game. That's the one I figured Paul would say, where losing really sucked, but watching highlights again, I can look back and appreciate how entertaining it was. The other example I can think of is an English Premier League game between Arsenal, my team, and Liverpool from a couple of seasons ago, where it seesawed back and forth and finished 4-4, even though they gave up the tying goal at the end. My other game is hypothetical. When the league year starts, if a team comes along and offers a second-round pick for Brian Hoyer and the Patriots accept it, then a week later, Ryan Mallett is arrested for another drug possession charge, meaning the Patriots need a backup quarterback. Which of the following free agents would you pick up to be the new backup?
Clarification, another?
Yeah.
Doesn't have a
I don't think he's
charge.
Been ever picked
Only
up.
Thing he's ever been in trouble for was public intoxication.
Good.
Once.
He has had a drug thing, but rumors. he never got arrested.
Nothing is
never
ever
got arrested.
It's all rumors, rumblings, hearsay. There is nothing. So another drug possession charge is
So I'm glad you cleared that up. But anyway.
Yes.
And he could also be out because he got hurt in practice. So anyway, the Patriots need a backup quarterback. Who would you pick of these people? Brad Gronkowski, Alex Smith, Troy Smith, Vince Young, Matt Moore, or Brody Coyle?
Bruce Gronkowski.
Gronkowski
and Moore are the two names.
I would take Alex Smith, too.
I would?
Yeah. As a backup quarterback?
Our assistant PR director would quit.
As a backup?
Nah.
I would take him.
I think he's damaged goods at this point.
Bruce
Gronkowski.
Can you go over that list again?
Bruce Gronkowski, Alex Smith, Troy Smith,
no.
Vince Young,
no.
Matt Moore,
possibly.
Brody Croyle.
No, not at all. He's
Bruce
not
Gronkowski.
An NFL quarterback.
Gronkowski, number one, I think I agree with. And then I would go with Alex Smith. I think you're right, friend. On that list, that's a bad list of quarterbacks.
I only have one. I'd go somewhere
else. I wouldn't want any part of Gronkowski. Andy has a love affair with him.
So he's a solid guy.
It's a strange thing that's not all that dissimilar to our Matt Roth infatuation.
There's not really a reason
there's not
for
a
it.
Lot up there for you to like a guy as much as Andy likes Bruce Gronkowski.
All right, on his first question,
you know, other than a 50% completion percentage,
that 06 championship game was anybody a great game to watch.
He had those games backwards. The one that I would have gone with is definitely the Arsenal game. He had that backwards.
Because I remember you talking about that game.
I have been talking about that for a long time. Yeah. When did it happen?
You were a big Liverpool fan at the time.
I agree. That 06 title game.
Paul's acting like an arse.
Was amazing.
Oh. But what any other sporting events you guys remember that where the result didn't match who you were rooting for, but you had to say, wow, that was great?
Well, I would say half the Patriots Colts games for one side or the other are in that category.
Every big Northeastern hockey game in the last 25 years.
Oh, jeez.
I thought the Patriots Packers Super Bowl was pretty entertaining until the very end. The last half of the fourth quarter when
fourth quarter was too anticlimactic.
Was it Max Lane that couldn't get
they get steamrolled
in the fourth quarter. The game wasn't in doubt.
Yeah. They just couldn't do anything.
For most of that game though, it was
that fourth quarter was like the whole 07 Super Bowl where Bledsoe had not a second.
The first 3 quarters of that game were terrific. 27-21 with a minute left in the third quarter. The rest of the game wasn't competitive.
So,
unfortunately.
I mean, Borg and McEnroe, I was a big Borg fan that last one where McEnroe beat him. That was, I have to admit, that was just a great match.
Yep.
Muhammad Ali, Frazier, the first fight, I was an Ali fan, you know, but what a fight. Oh, my God. Frazier's face at the end of that. I remember the picture in Sports Illustrated.
I don't
feel... It was like all bumps.
I don't feel any affection for it, but the 0-3 Game 7 of the ALCS when the Yankees beat the Red Sox was... I can't bring myself to say, oh, that was a great game anyway, even though my team lost. But that would qualify as... If you were looking at that as a neutral fan,
yeah,
that was an unbelievable baseball game.
Yeah. I can't... Another great game, but I can't come to terms with it, was the Magic Johnson baby hook.
Yeah, that's one.
You know, but I refuse to say that was great.
A lot of people are saying the recent Women's World Cup final, that Japan was a great game.
Relatively,
you could find yourself rooting for...
As soccer,
Fred, what did you
as
say?
Women's soccer games go, it was a great game, but that's,
Fred,
you know, relative.
How far back do you think that lost
soccer? That game, without a doubt, set women's soccer back at least 10, 15 minutes.
Ray, would you like to defend your gender?
It had nothing to do with gender.
You just said as far as women's sports go, or whatever.
Women's soccer.
I mean, cause, you know, don't you think?
Ray. Offensive.
Okay. I do think that, I mean, women, they're amazing players, I think, but I also think that men sometimes, I don't know.
I don't know what you're saying.
Well put.
That was a Fred Kirsch statement.
No, I was going to say that I think that, you know, men's sports generally tend to be more entertaining than women's sports.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. But I don't know how you
can
say... But
the women's team was really good in those games.
And
were
Casey
intense.
Wambach. And I don't know how you can say she's not good.
She's great.
And Hope Solo,
Abby,
obviously.
Abby.
And we were
Abby,
in at ASB. We were all watching it, like, with our mouths open. So it was a good game.
It was...
Mark Tape.
You've done it. Were you in any sports?
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah. What'd you play?
Field hockey. I did gymnastics for like 12
field
years.
Field hockey, huh?
I was a hardcore gymnast when I was younger.
You did gymnastics until you grew over 5 feet?
Basically, yeah. I'm too tall now.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. Thanks for the input. All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Don't be rude. Asked her. You brought her into the show.
I said thanks for the input.
I actually did.
Yeah, thank
you. I asked her to defend her gender.
Okay. You brought her.
Defender gender. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. On it right now with Sean from Salt Lake. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I wanted to disagree with your thing about blitzing Brady.
Okay.
Me personally, I think the way to beat Brady and how Green Bay did good for three quarters, and unfortunately New York did the same in the playoffs, is have a decent pass rush and drop everybody in coverage. Because if somebody blitzes Brady, he'll dump it off to somebody for a 15-yard gain.
Yeah, I'm advocating switching things up, that's all. I'm not advocating blitzing Brady for a whole game. I'm saying you can't just sit there and say, going into the game, we're not going to blitz this guy, because he'll kill you.
Plus, if you're going to sit back and cover and have great cover guys like both Green Bay and New York does, and still get pressure without blitzing, then yes, that's a better scheme. But 98% of teams can't do that. You have to pick your poison, and we're saying which way
a
better chance.
If I can get pressure without blitzing, why would I ever want to blitz?
Exactly.
Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, and the young guy, whatever his name is,
Tremont Williams.
See, Sean, I think everyone would do what you're saying, have a decent pass rush and cover really well. But most teams cannot do that because they don't have enough depth.
Right.
They can't do it.
Okay, then I apologize because I just have you guys on at work, and I just heard the last part of the conversation.
No problem.
And so I thought you guys were saying that blitzing Brady was the way to get to Brady and Manny.
Oh, no. What I was saying was just they're two of the three least blitzed.
Two of five. One and five.
One and five least blitzed quarterbacks in football. And I think that that's foolish because I think that you're going into the game against the two best passers, and you're telling them they're not going to have to worry about blitzes because we don't blitz you. I think that when you do that, you make the job of a great player easier.
And I see it the other way, though, because if you send a blitz, it means somebody's not covered or somebody's man-to-man.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do it all the time.
It doesn't mean that someone's not covered. It means someone's covered man-to-man occasionally, and I need you to cover him.
Assuming that you got a chance to get there with the blitz.
Right.
Not everybody blitzes like James Sanders and stops at the blocker.
I want the ball out quicker than the quarterback wants to throw it.
Right.
And I'm trying to make a mistake. And if you sit back and hope that he makes a mistake, he ain't ever going to make one. That's what Brady and Manning are. They've proven that if you give them time, you can't beat them.
But, you know.
Well, because the other thing that you said was 90% of the teams can't drop people in coverage and have a decent pass rush, which would be the same reason why New England wins 90% of their games.
Well, that is the reason. I mean, all those things, you know, you'll lose to the Patriots unless you're executing perfectly, no matter what you do. Blitz, drop back, because Brady's so good, you know. So you could look at it the other way. If it was, you know, Brody Croyle back there, yeah, you could probably win not executing that well doing either of those things, you know. But it's because Brady and Manning are so good that all this stuff comes into question, you know.
And one other thing, I was wondering if you could clear something up, because I'm not quite understanding the new cap. Because I understood it that teams could go over that cap, but I hear everybody talking about that people are going to have to cut players before they sign anybody because of cap room. How does that work?
This is not a soft cap. It's still a hard cap, but there are going to be some exceptions. There are going to be some credits.
Supposedly for like your premier player.
Oh, there's going to be a change?
I didn't know that. Potentially.
Well, that's the other thing. This is
all rumored.
I thought it was the same cash over cap that we've always had.
No,
I didn't realize that.
There was talk that there would be an exception for high-value players.
Yeah, credits.
Like, if you had Manning on your team and he was signed and he had a ridiculous... You're not going to cut him or cut his salary or whatever. That's still unconfirmed reports.
But it's going to be a somewhat hard cap.
So, someone...
You never want to be someone who
my worry
cap.
Was because with New England, it's a financial team, not let's go spend $200 million a year. So a team like Jerry Jones wouldn't have the ability to say, oh, what cap?
Yeah, no.
As much money as you want.
No.
You're still going to have a cap.
And there could be some teams that will have to cut players.
I know New England is not the type of team that's just going to start handing out multi- $30, $40 million contracts to stay competitive.
No, that's not. You're not going to see that.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, Sean.
Thanks,
Salt
Sean.
Lake. So, thanks for the call.
The one interesting vagary there is there was a report today that the new cap/CBA will make it less necessary to have cap casualties. There'll be something in there allowing teams to keep veterans. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that means. There was nothing with the report, no specifics. But I think that's mildly interesting, especially now when everybody's talking about how many people could get cut. I mean, Reggie Bush's of the world and all these guys are going to get cut because there's a lot of teams at both ends of the spectrum. There's a lot of teams that are over the cap, but then there's a lot of teams that are at $48 million and have to spend $40 million to get up to the floor.
I think that relates to what the point we just made to Sean,
is
that there might be exceptions for one or two players on your team.
But then I wonder, you get into who are you allowed to use those exceptions on? And how that all plays out.
It might just be a fixed number, and it's up to you to decide who those players
That's
are.
That's what I saw. I saw somewhere it was like $3 million over the cap.
So
but
why
I have
don't
the
they
feeling
just make the cap $123 million?
Because I don't think you get it every year. I think you use it, and then you lose it or something. Again, this is all just piecing together tweets and reports and who knows what.
Yeah, and none of it's confirmed either. So.
A lot of the writers are saying
and even when it is, we still won't understand it.
Well, that's for sure.
I was just starting to get up to speed on the last CPA.
A lot of the writers are saying that the plan is to have the owners vote between 3:30 and 5:30 today. Andy's good friend Judy Batista from the New York Times saying,
"Hey, girl,
it will get the owners will vote today." She calls it "vote in hope" that the players follow suit. It will obviously put a lot of pressure on the players if they vote and accept it. But she makes the point that the owners will not wait for tomorrow. Many will be heading to Boston for Myra Kraft's funeral. So they're not. There is a little bit of a pressure in terms of getting it done today and on the owner's side.
Well, yeah, and that's also part of the bargaining, too. The owners can say, okay, we've done everything we can do.
Well, that's what she
players,
said.
You know. Your
Both
turn.
Sides have done that at various points.
It puts the pressure on the players. The owners have been trying to do that. All along, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've been bullying the players.
And the players
and
pump the brakes.
And it's worked.
Well, I thought yesterday was all about the players pumping the brakes. We're not rushing anything through. The 21st was no deadline to us. It's an irrelevant number just thrown out there for us. We'll do a deal when the deal is right. But I hadn't thought about that. That meeting is tomorrow with all the 32 representatives for each team.
Evidently, it's going on right now, the meeting.
There's in separate places. There's a meeting.
So they're getting briefed on the thing that hasn't really been ratified
they're
yet.
They're in Atlanta, but there's a meeting in one room with all the decision makers and whatnot.
Oh.
And then there's the owners are going over the final thing. And I think they're trying to educate the team personnel of what is
no,
in
I know
this
that.
CBA.
I thought that was tomorrow. I thought that was a separate.
Yeah, well, earlier in the week they had said Thursday for that, but I don't know, you know, if maybe that got adjusted for the exact reason that she's saying. I don't know. That's the problem with this is that
no
there's so many. Yeah, and there's so many different reports out there, and everybody's
wrong.
Yeah. I don't want. It might sound harsh, but I think I think they are. I think you're right, Andy. And there's too many people that are wrong.
And it turns out the people who've been most right are the people who've been least optimistic, at least lately.
Yeah,
the people
who've
been
saying lately,
the people who've been trying to put the brakes on and maybe throw cold water, are the ones who've been proven right more often than not.
Your buddy.
Yeah,
Borges.
Well, I'm still with Bill Burt. He said that the deal would get done, and I think eventually he'll be right.
What would happen?
He's like that camping guy. Eventually the world's going to end. I'm just going to keep picking a date when it's going to happen.
But what would constitute him ever being wrong? Like if they don't play?
They dissolve the NFL.
And the NFL just goes away,
right.
Never to return? Well, I guess I was wrong about that.
Jonas in Durham says, on Tuesday's show, Paul made disparaging comments about the soccer player Hope Solo. While she is by no means stunning, she is very attractive. I know Paul's taste.
But she is considered stunning. That was what I was talking about. I called her overrated.
I know Paul
didn't disparage her.
You called her a man.
I know.
She looks like a man.
I know Paul's tastes run more along.
I didn't disparage her. I think she looks like a man.
Well, I'm saying that now.
I know Paul's tastes run more along the lines of those animatronic fox mouthpieces, but really, Paul, Megyn Kelly, she looks like Matt Hasselbeck in drag. Stick with what you know. Wow. That's football, Andy. Every time you get distracted by a woman on TV in the studio, I imagine you leering at RuPaul.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Hope Solo, definitely more attractive than Megyn Kelly. Absolutely.
I think a lot of these women athletes, it's because they're athletes, they get
absolutely.
You know,
that was the point I was trying
there's
to make.
No question.
Yeah.
Andy Hart. Let's use your little mall test for Hope Solo. Are you kidding me? Please. Please.
I do like Alex Morgan, though. She's cute.
I mentioned
the one that scored
the goal,
the first
one. I thought she was all right, but again.
But she'll be overrated soon because she's on the rise. People now know who she is. They're saying, hey, that one who scored, she's kind of hot, and then she'll get overrated.
That's the only point I was trying to make.
So she'll be on a couple more World Cups. She'll
probably
get out there.
Yeah.
People say, but
she's
they all are.
She's no Abby Wambach.
She's handsome, as Jerry Callahan says.
Did he say that?
He goes, Hope Solo's attractive. Wambach's handsome. Very, very funny, actually. But they all are. The skiers, they're all, yeah, they look great compared to the ugly
skiers.
Women who are the norm
right.
for athletes.
Right.
But you put them among actual hot women. They don't rank.
Right.
But I think there's that allure because, wow, you know, she's, you know,
athletic.
She's athletic. And
imagine what she could do to me.
Like Mia Hamm. She's not that good looking.
Not attractive.
Yeah.
But that's my point.
Right.
I think of Hope Solo like that.
Yeah.
When Mia Hamm.
Hope Solo's better looking.
In the mid to late 90s, Mia Hamm was thought to be stunning.
Right.
That's what people think Hope Solo
is
now.
One of the few that was really hot was Anna Kournikova.
Yeah, and she sucked at sports.
Right, but she wasn't that good.
I thought you were going to say something else there.
Oh, I don't know.
I would hope.
There are some attractive tennis players.
Yeah.
No question. But I think that...
is Hope Solo's dad named Han?
They get to be on a much higher level because
you guys
they're...
even listening.
Come on, where's the air shot? God, Rachel.
Ray. After that goal she missed, they should call her Hans Solo.
But it went through her hand, so.
Well, that's
why he's making
a
joke.
You call a fat guy skinny or a tall guy shorty.
Right. Warren, they call him tiny.
Right.
Did he get his hand cut off by the sword in one of them? No,
yeah,
that's Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker did.
Oh, who's Han Solo?
That's the guy, Millennium Falcon. He's the...
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
Oh, in the mud?
Yes. Haven't you read scriptures?
It was carbonite, but that's okay. It's different.
Very good, Fred.
Haven't you read scriptures? Is that what you're saying?
Nathan from the South Carolina, California.
Which one is it?
California.
He even laughed at himself.
He
on
got
that
the
one.
V right. Remember a couple years ago when Josh McDaniels first got the job at Denver and he expressed interest in getting Castle.
After that, there was all kinds of drama in Denver between Cutler and McDaniels, while the NFL Network did a special where Charlie Casserly pretended to be Josh McDaniels and Jamie Dukes pretended to be Jay Cutler, and they had a pretend interview of how they thought that interview would go. I thought it would be appropriate to do something like that on air between Fred, the sail that directs the ship, as Coach Belichick, and Eric, the overpaid, underperforming employee who's concerned about fashion distracts him from doing his job as Tully Bantikain. The scenario is that Bill called Tully into his office to discuss his underperformance. You can make the interview fun as well as informative.
If Eric's involved, it won't be fun.
So I would, Mr. Draft over here.
And if Fred plays a good Belichick, it won't be fun.
So I would be Belichick and you would be Tully Bantikain, and I call you into my office.
For underperforming?
For underperforming.
Oh, man, I was going to say something really nasty there, but
yeah,
probably shouldn't.
I don't know how would that go. I don't.
Oh, you paid me $6 million.
Yeah.
What? Underperforming? That's not what you're.
Yeah, what? I don't know. We'll have to think about that. You know, maybe we'll have like a masterpiece Patriots Theater. We'll come up with little skits.
Disasterpiece Theater?
Yeah.
Good, Paul.
Tyler from Georgia. I have a sports history question. Here you go, Paul.
Puns that Andy came up
right.
with.
So. You ready, Paul? Sports what? History question?
No, he's crying.
I was watching an episode of Cheers this morning, and in the episode, Frasier wanted the regulars at the bar to watch a show he was going to be on, but they wanted to watch the Pats-Rams game instead. Of course, they were guilted into watching his show. I hit info on the TV, and it said the episode was originally aired in 1986. I was going to look up whether this was a real game or not, and the result of the game when I thought it would be more fun to ask Paul the Sports Almanac Perillo. So, Paul, did the Cheers gang miss anything by not watching the Pats-Rams game in 1986?
Well, they absolutely did.
Really?
That was quite a notable game.
That was Patriot, a Hail Mary game, wasn't
Patriots
it?
Patriots 30, Rams 28. Mm-hmm. Irving Fryer from Tony Eason, maybe 25, 30 yards, deflected pass in the back of the end zone as time expired. Hail Mary.
I didn't remember the details, but I remember the game.
Yep.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Good, Paul. That's unbelievable.
It's not that unbelievable. Everybody else knew it, too.
I didn't know it.
Even Andy knew it.
What? Yeah.
Even Andy knew it
is the right answer.
Exactly. Right?
Right. He's looking into the camera.
Did you watch Cheers as well?
Love Cheers.
You love Cheers?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great
terrific
show.
I thought at the end it kind of wasn't as good.
It was done. Yeah.
A lot of those
Seinfeld.
Shows do that, though.
I feel the same way about Seinfeld.
Yeah. No, it started out funny.
Oh, wow. Andy just going against the trend there.
That's what he's all about. Yeah. You didn't figure
that
out?
I'm not a follower.
You're not a follower. You're not a leader either.
I'm a leader.
You're nothing.
Leader.
You're nothing.
Oh, by the way, I did
that goes on the billboard.
This goes back to you just missed a draft. You made a comment.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to know what Taylor Price's 40 time was on the debacle of the Bobble in the Head show.
Yeah.
And Andy just goes, I think it's 4-4-1. Why didn't somebody look that up? And you know what it was?
4-4-1.
4-4-1.
4-8.
And I said, that's why they call me Mr. Draft and Eric Mrs. Draft. Because you wouldn't have known that. What's true?
Okay. Eric is just shaking his
head. I don't
head.
Call you Mrs. Draft.
No, you call me other things, though.
No, but
he calls you
one
a
tennis
for your gay little walk to the kitchen together. Andy hasn't brought up the fact that he keeps continually wanting to play me in Scrabble because he has yet to beat me.
Yet to beat him.
He mastered the
not only yet
words.
To beat me, he's yet to even come within 40 points.
What I want to know is, when are you playing Scrabble?
Yes.
No, it's not really Scrabble. It's the Words with Friends thing.
It's Scrabble.
We're putting the phone you gave us to use.
You know how I know? Yeah, that's how I know.
So Eric does have a better vocabulary than you do.
Of two-letter words. I don't know the rules of the game. I don't know the rules of the game.
Oh.
No, I don't.
Sorry, excuse.
Well, it's my excuse.
If it's in the dictionary, you can use the word.
I don't think that's true.
It is true.
Well, that's the rule.
It's not updated. Then. No, it isn't.
It's not?
Yes,
because
it is.
I know they've added words that I've tried to use, and it won't let me. Is it the dictionary as of 1970? What year?
I don't know.
Thank you. So you don't know the rules either.
Why don't you guys know the rules before you play?
Just so you know,
that's
Fred.
That's the other issue. There's no place where you can
there's
go.
There's really no place to
about
look up the
game
rules
or
that.
Rules.
Well,
or
no, but a lot of times you say we're going by this dictionary, and it's like the Webster's.
You can't, though, because you
it doesn't tell you at.
Fred, the reason.
Tell you at?
Well, then how come he gets them all right and you don't?
Because he tries. No, because you're missing it. The reason Andy can't beat Eric is because of all of the new words added to the dictionary in the last 5 years
right.
or so are preventing. That's preventing Andy from winning.
L.
Plus he doesn't
L every time.
Plus he doesn't know any word before 1985, so he really limits himself.
Struggle.
I already know how this is going to end, though. I already talked to Eric about this on one of the many Tuesdays and Fridays that Andy's not here.
But I do know in Scrabble, if
one day he's going to win. And he'll never win. Right.
And it's like, all right, what happened the last time we played?
Well here.
I'll get the little thing. Eric requests a rematch. Decline.
and Andy will go, what happened the last time we played? What happened the last whatever. No further questions.
No further questions. But I do know in Scrabble, if you don't think that the word your opponent's using is legitimate, you can challenge him, right?
Yeah, but I don't think you can do it on this.
Oh, you can't?
No.
So you can get away with anything you want, Eric.
Yes. It's crap. Well, no, but it has to be a legitimate word.
Doesn't it have to be accepted?
Well,
yes. Computer?
You have to send the move, and then
so
the computer
can't just do anything.
Oh, the computer accepts it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And then a little gray box will pop up. That is not
accepted. Then what's your problem, Andy?
It's stupid.
A lack of
his problem is he hasn't won a game. Yeah. That's the problem.
I didn't know L was a word.
So you can't beat me in anything, and you can't
oh,
beat Eric in
anything.
He can't beat you in sports. It's
right,
even worse.
Right. Athletic endeavors.
He fancies
Why don't
himself
you double
an
your push-ups, and then we'll be close.
Athletic endeavors.
Are we going to have a rematch for that?
No, I've proved my point.
You did.
What? I proved
that
my
I
point.
Doubled you up. Was that your point?
That even low in fiber,
was
you
that
could do a lot
point?
Of
that, that I did twice as many push-ups as you.
That no matter what
is
you
that
do,
your point?
Even post colonoscopy.
No matter what you,
you
do,
don't
you can't do it right.
You're lighter now. You're lighter now.
Push-ups.
I am.
No,
because you had
was
the colon-
lighter until he went to Qdoba.
No, he had the colonoscopy.
Yeah,
so
he
put that right back on. Though.
Oh, that I didn't talk about. The process for getting rid of that is horrendous.
Yeah.
Drinking those four liters of ugh.
I wished I'd had the iPhone back then.
Literally, you know, every 15 minutes you have to drink 8 ounces.
Yeah, I just did it all at once.
Like clockwork. 10 minutes after that, I'm on the toilet. Oh, it was terrible.
Read a lot of magazines.
Terrible.
Everybody said that they had a hard time with it. So when I started it, I was like, all right, well, I'm getting it. I didn't want to stop because I figured at some point it was going to be too hard to do. So I just drank the whole thing.
You're not supposed to
it's
do that,
disgusting.
Though, I don't think.
It all does the
You
same
drank
thing.
All 4 liters at once?
Yeah, they told me you could do that. They said any way you can get it
really?
Right. Any way you can get it down.
Oh,
my God. It's all doing the same thing. It's just flushing you out. Whether it's quicker, slower, staggered.
Which is something that isn't a bad thing. I think we should all get flushed out at some point, right?
We do it every morning.
I told you it was a pleasurable experience.
That part wasn't pleasurable. I can tell you that. Let's see. Fred from Halifax writes in, the lockout has gotten the better of me, and I had turned my attention to baseball. It was one of those things that will be over when it's over, and until then, I'm done. With the last couple of days, I have started to turn my ears back on. One thing that I have picked up on is this Logan Mankins court case. Can you clear up what this lawsuit is all about, and if it is true that he wants millions to settle the suit? The way I see it, he has not been hard done by. Both the Pats and Mankins operated under an agreed set of free agent rules, and now he wants free money. Is this true? If this is the case, it is time to cut him loose and get what you can for him when the lockout's over. I am not burdened with the responsibility of actually running the team, so I'm free to make such rash decisions. I'm tired of this poor, poor Logan Mankins saga. Just one fan's opinion. Feel free to take me to the woodshed for this. Well, the lawsuit isn't a Logan. It's a class action lawsuit. Of which he's named.
It's the Brady et al. Versus NFL, and
but there's
Mankins
a whole,
is part of the et al.
Right, so there's a bunch of players on it. So, but
as, Michaels or
Lerner.
But in order to settle the lawsuit, there's been rumors that Mankins and Vincent Jackson, in order to settle this class action, wanted either $10 million or free agency, and.
Someone just locked them up inside Gillette Stadium.
We don't know, you know, who's asking for what, but you know what we've heard is that they can't do that in a class action suit. They can't go and make their own deal unless.
But they do need to settle the suit.
They do
somehow
need the league and this.
So whether or not that's part of the settling of the suit remains to be seen. And also the rumors that came out and were sort of quickly squashed. About Manning and Breeze wanting the franchise tag exemptions.
Right. And we also have not heard a word from Logan Mankins or his agent. So as far as we know, they've asked for nothing. So, you know, all of this stuff, I'm with you, Fred, in Halifax. close your ears until it's done and then open them back up again, because it's all, you're going
to
hear all kinds of stuff, and we have heard all kinds of stuff, and half of it is accurate, the other half is completely inaccurate, and most of it is a little bit of, you know, inaccuracy and accuracy. So it's really not worth your attention.
The latest thing we're seeing now, our friend Donnie Banks.
Donnie Banks.
Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie.
Don Banks from SI.
Yep.
Saying that the holdup, the big holdup now apparently is about the players recertifying and how long that process will take. And so these things, it's such a fluid thing. Look, we've been on the air for an hour and a half and we've had how many different reports and about what's going on and what's could happen. And
Scott from Atlanta bought us lunch today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
I didn't take part, but thank you anyway.
Thanks, Scott.
And he writes and he says, I wanted to pass along my most heartfelt sympathy to each of you and the entire Patriots organization for the loss of Mrs. Kraft. Everything else seems trivial in light of this loss. While I never had the chance to meet Mrs. Kraft, I had the honor of meeting and talking with Mr. Kraft, and my heart is heavy for him and the entire family. I hope the players dedicate their entire season to Myra and they find a way to honor her in their play on the field, in their actions off the field. Again, all my respect and sympathy to each member of your organization. Do you think they might have an MHK patch or
I think they should
sticker on the helmet?
Yes, I think they should and will. Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of emails coming in.
I love it when he does.
Xavi, X-A-V-I. How would you pronounce that name?
Xavi.
Now we'll get the email from Xavi telling us how to really.
Well, I think it's probably short for Xavier, but I think the, like there were some soccer players on the Spanish team.
Well, it depends
team.
On what country you're from, right?
And it depends how the damn person wants it said.
Right.
But there were some players on the Spanish World Cup
that,
team.
That does, has nothing to do
Xavi,
with it, Andy.
You're right. It was spelled that way. So
Mark Lavoie is Lavore.
Well, I'm guessing it's pronounced Xavi and it's short for Xavier.
You have
That's
no idea.
What I'm guessing.
Well, his last name is Ribeiro, so.
Okay. So it could be Xavi.
Do we have any attractive trade chips, realistic ones? Not Tom Brady or Wes Welker, but someone we could move to upgrade at another position, kind of like Perkins for the Celtics last year.
Brandon Merriweather.
That's one.
Yep.
Tully Bannacane?
No. I said attractive.
No.
I legitimately think Merriweather might be one.
Yeah,
I know we don't think that much of him, but Darren Sharper, everybody that talks about him says he's a playmaking, you know, top six safety in the NFL, and if that's truly the perception of him, then maybe you
then
can get something for him.
Take full advantage of that now. Yeah.
He's in the last year of his contract. If you're not going to re-sign him, for all we know, the Patriots are going to re-sign him. I don't know either way, but I think he's a guy that would seemingly have some value on the open market despite what we may think.
Chris from Hereford, England. Seemingly the end of the lockout is upon us, and with it, the long-awaited start of free agency. With this in mind, I just want you guys to put your GM shoes on and state your top three priorities once the lockout has ended. Mine would be re-sign Mankins.
Yep. You
got to protect 12. See if we can get Matt Light to re-sign on our terms, such as not paying over the odds, whatever that means. Tell him this is our offer. Take it or leave it. If he leaves it, so be it. And three, target a wide receiver in free agency that has a deep threat that is so lacking. This was a good decision on the Facebook page on the subject the other day, if any of you have seen it. Thanks for keeping the flame alive this off-season lockout during. Looking forward to the new season and the pregame social shows.
I would replace the Matt Light example with the getting some sort of outside linebacker, whether or not it's an
A-level.
Well,
would number one be Mankins? Would you agree with that?
I think Mankins would still be number one,
yep.
But a close second would be getting an outside linebacker.
Yeah, see, my realistic
followed
ones
by
would
wide
be
receiver.
Mankins, Matt Roth, Dante Stallworth.
See, if the franchise situation doesn't change, my number one would not be Mankins. That would not be my number one. It would be it'd be on the table, but
what if he says he's not playing?
Well, then that changes. But I think we all agree that, you know, hypothetically, we don't think he will.
Oh, I don't. I don't think he will do that.
So assuming he plays under the franchise, that's
not... I don't
have
the information that they
do. That's not
if he gets a $10 million cash payment, that might change his view on
exactly.
Things. Because we're assuming he values the $10 million that he would get and that each of those 1/17th checks would be a big deal. If he gets a check written for $17 million, he probably feels a little better financially.
Well, my
I mean, for $10 million,
I think...
17.
Assuming,
10.
Excluding any settlement,
and the $10 million, if he's willing to play under the franchise tag, he's not my number one priority.
Well, who is?
My number one priority is getting, making the defense better along the pass rush, getting somebody to solidify a little bit.
So all in? Tamba Ali?
I said somebody. Whatever, you know.
Well, somebody
could
be
Matt Roth.
You got to have somebody specific.
However they feel they can improve that, they should do that. That should be number one.
Tamba Ali, then.
Number two is the wide receiver. And then number three is the offensive line, including re-signing, you know, making sure Mankins is here for long term.
Do you want
and
Matt
or
Light?
Replacing Matt Light until Solder's ready, or just solidifying those tackle spots?
All right, then let me throw this question at you. Then you're the GM, you hold the checkbook. Do you want Matt Light back? Yes or no?
I agree with the emailer. If it's at the right price, sure, sure. He's done nothing else but show that he can play that position at a good NFL level, and there's something to be said for that.
What would you rather do? Not necessarily.
Brooklyn Decker.
Not necessarily what would you rather do, but do you think is this a possibility? Is a plausible? Just go and let's say Solder's not ready. Let Light go and go with Kasher and Vollmer. Is that a possibility? Is that something that you'd be comfortable with?
Yeah.
Vollmer on the left, Kasher
like
on the right?
I'd like to see Kasher's health status first.
No, I'm not totally comfortable with that. I'm not totally comfortable with that. That's why I say you got to solidify those tackle spots.
But not being comfortable with that, you have Solder. But instead of making him all-in option number one, he's now, if one of these guys can't, you know what I mean, he becomes the insurance.
That's what I was thinking.
It seems to me that most good left tackles who are drafted relatively high play right away in this day and age. I just feel like they all come right in, and the guys who don't, excuse me, the guys who don't,
Furble,
generally don't end up being good left tackles. Yeah. So if you have drafted the right guy, I think he's going to be ready to play.
The only thing, and I totally agree with your history there. The only thing that
that's
would
good,
worry,
because I just kind of winged it.
The only thing that would worry me about that specifically, Andy, is this a little bit different in that he didn't have these 4 or 5 months to prepare that all those other guys do.
Sure.
You is know? It also different because,
and I'm not saying he's Jonathan Ogden, but all those guys had the benefit of working their way into the playbook and the system and mini camp and training camp and all this. This guy is going to have to do it in a month.
Is it also different because most of those guys aren't protecting one of the two best quarterbacks in NFL history?
Yeah, but to most teams, their quarterback is the franchise, whether he's the real Brady franchise or just kind of the
franchise. Matt Light's job isn't harder because he's protecting Tom Brady than, you know, the left tackle of the Arizona Cardinals because he was protecting Derek Anderson.
My point is when Matt Light was drafted, he automatically was inserted at left tackle to protect
and
Drew Bledsoe.
Bledsoe nearly died.
But I'm saying if they're willing to do it back then.
Good point, Eric.
Even I can't put that one on Matt Light.
Why? Just because he was running right?
Well, I don't care which way he was running. It wasn't an offensive line problem.
I'm just saying, Bill has shown in the past with a franchise quarterback, he's willing to put a rookie in at left tackle. So,
sure. As are most coaches, but Paul's right. This is different. There's no offseason.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would concern me about Solder. You picked him 17th. I'm guessing Bill Belichick is confident that he could step in and play left tackle from day one. He wouldn't pick a left tackle 17 if he didn't. My only concern is this situation, is that a monkey wrench in that? Is it, you know, the abnormality of no offseason, does that change it?
But he knew,
and it may.
He knew what the landscape was going to be like when he drafted him.
He didn't know he wasn't going to be back at all. He didn't know that. That was April.
Yeah, he knew that it was a possibility.
Here we are in late July.
He knew it was a possibility.
What was the possibility?
That wouldn't be time to deal
with.
But
whether it's this year or next year, Nate Solder is the left tackle of the future. That wasn't going to change his draft pick, right?
I don't know.
Well, why would you change your draft pick because of a lockout?
You never know what Bill's thinking.
I do. He's trying to improve his team. I mean, he tells us that 75 times, right? A day.
Right.
I mean, every time he talks to us, that comment comes up at least 5 times. I do what's in the best interest of the football team. So he wouldn't change a draft pick if he thought that guy was better than this guy just because of a lockout.
Right.
I don't think that's Bill's I don't think Bill would do something like that.
Alex from Philly writes in, it's been a while since I listened and emailed the show. The reason being because I just started a new job a couple weeks ago and they have been keeping me pretty busy. Unfortunately, the last show that I got to listen to live was that Andy debacle.
Oh, suck it.
Otherwise known as the show that shall not be mentioned.
I know everything has already been said about that show, so I'll keep
so
my
shut
comments
up.
Short. First, Lindsay was good. Andy, not so much. Second, I'm pretty
sure. Oh, Lindsay wasn't that good. She said Danny Woodhead was special and Reggie Bush was average.
Second, I'm pretty sure Lindsay didn't enjoy Andy and Kevin talking
Patriots
about the size of her breast.
She did.
Lastly, Rachel in, Kevin out. Now on to football. Glad to hear that the lockout is close to being over, even though I'm tired of hearing that the lockout is close to being over. Seriously, are they trying to torture us? Anyway, one quick question. What is your biggest fear for the Patriots going into this season, besides losing or not making it to the Super Bowl? Mine is that we'll get swept by the Jets for the first time in a decade. Okay, guys, thanks and keep thanks for keeping the flame burning. What's your biggest fear going into this season?
That every year two jump is a fall.
That they make the playoffs again and lose in the first round or in their first game.
I like Andy's, but I don't want to
playing
steal
along
it.
With your thing, that there's no offseason. Maybe that whole big year two jump is a full year around the team, and all
but,
these guys lost it.
But even
McCourty,
that, just
Gronkowski,
that,
Hernandez,
Cunningham.
Just that
Cunningham,
all of those guys, you know. You,
who Urban Meyer thinks is,
Yeah, I would say that my biggest fear beyond the cliche of, you know, like Brady getting hurt, would be that you don't force the amount of turnovers on defense, and your defense is not. Everybody, I think, is feeling like this is a good young defense that's making the progression. That my biggest fear is that it's just a bunch of young guys playing on defense, and they don't make a progression. They don't get better.
My biggest fear is that none of you people listen to the pregame social.
Yeah.
And it's a miserable flop.
Make sure that doesn't happen.
Well, that's a big fear for me. I'm sticking my neck out there on that one.
Not as much as you are on that tablet thing.
Chris with the TIAN says...
I thought for sure you were going with a fat joke there.
Chris with the TIAN...
Not as much as your belly's sticking out.
He says he also plays Words with Friends. Is that what it's called, you guys?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
he
not
says,
really accurate because I play with Eric.
Right.
Co-workers
would probably be a better...
Words with Frenemies.
He says, look me up under Chris with a TIAN.
With all the right. word?
Does
that get qualified as points?
He says...
That's what Eric would put as a word. Him go, ba-ba-bong, for 38 points. If I tried it, it would go, that is not an acceptable word.
He says this game has... Because you're constantly trying to cheat, Andy. That's why.
I am now. You're damn right I am now. I try everything I can possibly think of now.
He says, Words with Friends has more than 173,000 acceptable words for use in the game. Their list is based
Andy
on...
Andy can't find any of them.
Their list is based on the Enhanced North American Benchmark Lexicon, otherwise known as Enable, a public domain list used by many word games.
So I need to look up what Enable is?
I guess so.
Enhanced that makes you an enabler.
North American.
That's what you are.
Sounds a lot like Nambla.
And
why does he do that for everything?
That's how his mind works. What?
You think of something
like dirty.
Nambla. Enable. It sounds like Nambla. Like,
right.
Who thinks like that?
N-A-B-L.
Oh,
there's a lot
N-A.
Of letters to say.
I consider,
imagine N-A. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Nambla.
I consider myself an enabler by letting him do this on this show. I'm enabling his
idiocy.
Brandon says there are some words such as June, J-U-N-E, capital, which I've continuously tried to play that the game doesn't recognize.
Can't use the months?
You're not supposed to be able to use proper nouns.
Right, but you can.
But
some of them.
But sometimes they let you do it.
Well, give me an example, because it might also be a double meaning.
I was playing Lindsay.
here's what Fred's going to explain to you, you moron.
I was playing Lindsay the other day, and she played Hearst, as in...
How widespread is this during the work?
No, it's after hours.
First of all, it's huge. And I think it's actually shrunk. At one point, one of our
Nick plays
former
too.
Co-workers was playing with like 12 people at once.
Yeah.
It is pretty widespread.
Yeah.
But she played Hearst.
I don't do it, Fred.
Same spelling as the
now,
former
Red Sox. I'm going to tell IT.
Former Red Sox pitcher.
Yeah.
Bruce Hearst. She played Hearst, and it was acceptable. That's a proper name. That's not a...
Hearst is also a company that used to make shifts for cars.
Still sounds like a proper name.
But it's still a proper name.
I guess so, yeah.
And she played it, and it was accepted. Then she played Y-O-U-S-E, which is not a word.
Use.
And it was accepted.
Use guys.
But isn't that spelled Y-U-Z? That's how Maura always spells it in her emails. Use.
But that's not even a word either.
No, I know. But
and an accepted.
Neither is L.
Well, then you need to go to that public domain list and see what
but
they have
But it doesn't allow all abbreviations. Because I've tried.
Every one of them?
No, but a bunch.
Well, maybe there is a word that we just don't know about it. Y-O-U-S-E.
UC.
Did you try to put TD12 out there and see if it takes it?
I think I tried TD at one point. It doesn't allow that.
It doesn't allow fire department.
IQ does not allow.
Oh, see, that I would have thought it
does
was
not allow. TD IQ should be allowed.
Doesn't
if
allow
abbreviations
either.
Are allowed. That should be allowed.
Only
like
L.
The periodic table of elements is acceptable because I played stuff off of that.
See, I mean, just what you can play and what you can't is stupid.
Mendenhall, would they accept that?
Ridiculous.
Too many letters.
Josh, if you had Hall, if somebody played Hall and you put Menden in the front,
that's true.
Josh from Waterloo writes in. He says, "I have a confession."
You always thinking about men,
Josh.
Mend, I said. Sorry.
Why don't you just play the game during the show?
How do you know we're not?
Okay,
I'll open her up. Your move, Andy.
Josh from Waterloo. I have a confession. We are going to be totally honest with each other. Okay, here it goes. I listened to a different podcast.
Oh, you bastard!
Oh, there.
Who?
I said it.
Who?
It only happened once, and it didn't mean anything. I didn't even enjoy it, and I was thinking of you guys the whole time.
Probably Eisen.
It's just you're only around about 4 hours a week, and sometimes not even that.
Right, I told you.
And I was bored and happened to see Rich Eisen had a podcast, and one thing led to another, and before I knew it, what was happening, I had already downloaded him. I swear it will never happen again. Please forgive me, and I know that you are the only one I truly love. I just hope we can move on and forget this whole mess ever happened. And P.S., I think this godforsaken heat has finally cooked the last few remaining brain cells that I have left.
His is a TV show, too. They put it on air.
The podcast?
Yeah.
Is it a video podcast? You watch it or you just listen to
it?
Well,
I think you can do both, but there's. I was flipping through the other day, and he was on TV, and it said
they started doing that recently, like within the last month or so.
He's also stole our shtick. He's doing all these podcasts that aren't about football, the NFL. He did like a Curb Your Enthusiasm one. Now he did some other show.
He did a Seinfeld one, I think, too.
Son of
a... who was that?
We're ahead of the curve. And
Josh
Waterloo.
Josh, you know, as long as, you know, the damage is done at this point, let us know what you think. What did you think of the Eisen podcast? I hear it's great.
I've never listened to it.
He has really good guests. So, what's going on? Everybody's looking into the...
Rachel's throwing birds up to try to get back
into
the studio.
The two co-producers were fighting over getting in and out of the studio.
Wow.
Good Kevin, the bird.
Good Kevin got bitch slapped.
Ray? Brandon from Birmingham says nothing. It just says send from my iPhone. Thank you, Brandon.
This is what you get on the curse words, by the way. Which will also be coming soon back to Patriots.com.
Soon back.
August 11th.
Let's hope.
Well, yeah. Maybe. It's not really set.
And Bilo asks.
I did get the magnet schedule.
Yeah, I got that too. That's good.
Lindsay, 3Wise, writes in. She says, please mention on the show that Bilo asked me to pass along the message that Jonathan's comments on Myra from Atlanta will be on the web very soon.
Okay.
So do we have a camera down in Atlanta?
My guess is that's why Bilo said that.
Bilo's in Atlanta?
I thought I heard his voice today.
He was supposed to be. Yeah, we just read it there, sweetheart.
What are you doing? There she is.
All set.
You can come in here, Lindsay.
Tell
her to come in.
You just know it's coming.
You can answer the question.
You know what's happening.
No, you never know what's coming, Paul. Never know.
Take a mic.
Don't yell at me. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
I can go home.
Please, Eric. I just ate. I don't want to throw up, okay?
Neither does
Lindsay.
That was
your colonoscopy that did that.
Yeah.
You guys got my email then.
Yeah, so what's going on, Lindsay?
So Brian Lowe right now is in Atlanta. And
he is there?
He is.
Okay.
And they just talked to Jonathan Kraft about the passing of Myra, and it's going to be up on Patriots.com here in just a few minutes.
Okay.
You look like a Dolphins cheerleader today. You got orange and white and the aqua nail polish on.
Like, only you would think that, honestly.
That you look like a Dolphins cheerleader?
Did that cross anyone else's mind?
Ew.
No.
Is that
why
part
can't,
of the,
why can't why do we have to comment on what she's wearing? Eric?
Is that part of
you
the
always
show
come
opening?
In on what I'm wearing every time I come in?
Not yet.
There's nothing creepy about that, though.
Oh yeah, there is.
But it's
not to me.
Is Bilo? Is he also going to have a report on the lockout as well? Or
yeah, I believe so. I know that they're. I think they're just down there for today. He's with an editor and a camera guy, and they're just going to be. They're just kind of hanging out, waiting around, seeing what's going on, and I'm sure we'll be getting some reports back from them if anything happens.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of exciting to have someone down there, and everything will be up on Patriots.com, so keep your eyes peeled.
Well, while we have you here,
oh boy.
What's your biggest fear going into the 2011 season? Something we've been all talking about last
solo show with me.
I thought you were going to say, what's your biggest fear about entering the PFW studio right now?
Yeah, I don't need to ask that.
Sitting next to Eric Scalvino.
In between Andy and Eric.
Anything but at least she knows I'm just kidding. Eric is you.
Oh. Yeah, how did I get stuck with this seat? I'm like in between these two.
Oh, relax.
Oh, relax.
I'd rather sit next to Fred, even if you guys do say
no, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
no,
I would.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Well, I'm not wearing pants. So that might stop you. I don't know.
Okay, well, sorry, Fred. What was the question again? What's my biggest
fear?
What's
your biggest fear for the Patriots going into 2011?
It's probably the same fear that a lot of people have or all around the NFL, just with the free agency. There's not a whole lot of time, a very abbreviated amount of time going into all this. And I think, you know, everything's going to have to be done pretty quickly. Everything's going to be hurried and rushed and, you know, decisions are going to have to be made. And I feel like maybe they won't necessarily be the best decisions, but there'll be decisions that have to be made at the time to get things rolling and to get the season started. So I feel like they're, you know, they're probably not going to go after some really high profile expensive players. Just they're going to go after bodies, maybe more mediocre players. But I think my biggest fear is just free agency.
I have another fear to tack on to the one I mentioned earlier about their losing again in the playoffs. But she just reminded me of the quality of football. I think is going to be worse than it was last year. And most of us agree last year was a pretty bad year for football, just the on-field product league wide. And I think because of the delay and the not having the time to go after quality free agents or just the whole rushed.
Not enough prep.
I
think the quality of play is going to be even less than it was last year.
Well, you hear all the players, you know, even Rob Gronkowski today was on ESPN with his brothers and you hear all of them saying, oh, we've been working out like crazy. We're ready. Every single player, what do they keep saying? Oh, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. But it's like, are they going to be ready?
No.
You know, that's another big fear.
I believe
of mine.
They'll be in shape, but. But that's not the same thing.
But, you know,
condition.
Lifting is, you know, Rob can lift in his basement with Chris and, you know, his brothers, but that's not really saying, I'm sure they're working really hard, but that's still not saying a whole lot.
Not football related in any way. It's being in shape to do an athletic competition, but it's not football related.
There are 8 new head coaches and I believe 17 new coordinators around the league, so they are not going to have enough time to implement the system that they really want and to teach it to the players who are new, your rookies, your undrafted rookies, your veteran free agents. I think it's just going to lead to a very sloppy season as far as the on-field
for those specifically, product. I think. The new coaches, new quarterbacks, new coordinators.
Right, it'll certainly help the teams who are established. Like
in general, I think
New England,
when you see
Green Bay,
the Patriots,
kind of
Steelers, Packers, Colts play, they might both be worse, but I'm not sure you'll really notice it because they're both worse. They're kind of at the same level. So I don't know that that'll be a huge deal. I think you'll notice it when a good stable team plays a team that could be in a little bit of disarray early in the season.
Have you guys talked about the ESPN interview at all today on the show with the Gronkowski brothers?
We mentioned that they had it, but I haven't heard it.
Okay, Hannah Storm actually asked Rob Gronkowski, asked all three brothers about what they think about Peyton Manning, you know, probably not being ready for training camp. And Hannah Storm proceeded to ask Rob Gronkowski about Brady. And he just said he's 100% ready. When we had the workout at Boston College, you know, he seemed to be in great shape, great condition. And it seems like he's 100% ready for the season, 100% healed is what Gronkowski, it's along the lines of what he said. So I found that to be pretty interesting.
She should ask him why he's tweeting out pictures of a candlestick in his crotch. Did you see that?
Yeah, and she got into that with them too. She was talking about who has the most Twitter followers, and then they all trash talk with each other on Twitter. And actually Rob tweeted a picture of Chris sleeping in the car on the way to ESPN. And said, you know, wake up, you have to be on camera soon. So they did all kind of stuff like who's the best looking, who's the fastest.
Let me guess, Rob said he was.
I
agree.
Because he says he's the best at everything in that.
Most
athletic.
Well, other two should thank him for allowing them to ride his coattails.
They showed a picture of, like, from a few years ago of all five brothers, like, maybe on vacation or I don't know where they were.
Was that when
and
had
Rob,
their shirts off
yeah,
and were on the couch
and
or something?
Yeah, they were
when
on the couch.
When has he ever had
a
shirt on?
Yeah,
I know. And Rob, as soon as the picture pops up on the screen, Rob just goes, oh, I'm so jacked.
God bless that mother. How she did that,
that's what
I don't
Hannah
know.
Storm said at the end. Yeah. She's like, your mother has to be a saint. That's the last thing she said in the interview.
You know, oh.
How do you? I mean, and she asked them. She said, "So have you been, you know, hurt more, injured more in playing professional football or growing up?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, growing up," because they showed footage, and they were all like, "Oh, here it comes of them all." I don't know what they were doing, like playing like roller hockey in their living room or something. I have no idea what they were doing. It was like Rob's like, "Yeah, we used to just make up all kind of games and stuff, like make up our own games."
Sure.
So they cut the footage, and all three brothers were really upset because I guess right after they cut it, like one of them got like just totally like slammed and had to get like five stitches and all this stuff. So they said they got more beat up just growing up in that household.
I can imagine.
I can too.
But I bet it was a lot of fun.
Oh, sure.
I mean, as long as she's the type of person that can kind of roll with the punches, I bet it was very
I remember growing up and being on the phone and just begging kids, "Let's go play football," you know, begging to get a game together. They had instant game all the time.
Yep.
You know, they didn't have to look any further than their own house to have instant fun.
Crazy. I can't imagine growing up, I mean, with five boys all around the same age that are all, you know, incredible athletes. But
also strange personalities. They're not all like quiet dorks. I mean, they're all outspoken, quirky.
Right.
But really, they are riding his coattails. I mean, he's the one who could be an NFL star, and they're Jags.
Yeah, that's all right.
Just a Gronkowski.
Rob is from Medway, Mass. He says, "What do you think the loss of Mike Wysick will mean to the team's conditioning? Do you think his loss will
overrated.
Be a big one or no big deal?"
It could be overrated. Conditioning coaches in general get overrated.
So do you think
Their right buttocks will be a little tight?
Was Wysick at
I mean, he spends a lot of time looking at men's right buttocks.
Wysick has all those rings. Was he just in the right place at the right time?
I'm the only one in this room who hasn't had a device stuck up his rear end.
Whoa.
Can you say that, or Fred, or Paul?
No, you've had the real thing.
Either. I was going to say, I mean, what are you doing?
You walked right into
it. Too easy.
I mean,
you actually backed right into it.
No, you
backed into it.
Were you a part in that study that just came out from the U.S. government?
I don't know.
What are you laughing at? Do you even know what he's talking about?
No, but I'm sure it's really, really funny.
On the
sure it is.
The happiness, pleasure, whatever, of homosexual men based on their penis size.
Oh.
Funded by your guy. Funded by your government.
Okay.
Wait, speaking of...
Your guy.
I didn't know you lived in France, but that's...
Bringing something back, Andy. Bringing something back from the Bobble and Head show.
Uh-oh.
Eric, hold up your fingers real quick. Just so
hold
I
up
can
my
see.
Fingers?
Yeah. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. The index finger is the length of your...
No, the closer together they are, the more well-endowed you are.
The more, yeah.
Oh, I've never been one to brag about
do you
that.
Go like this when you do that?
Wow, Eric.
That's what I go, whoa, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah,
if the study is true, if size indicates happiness, then it's no surprise why I'm miserable all the time.
Okay. We'll start calling
that
you mushroom.
The fact that you don't ever get to use
you should
it.
Know I have
the size of it. Well, I thought your one fear is that you'd never use it again.
You know, Howard Stern always says when you use it a lot, too.
That's
it,
my biggest
it
fear
it
going into
grow.
The 2011 season.
6 years, Eric.
My
really?
My biggest concern.
It's unconfirmed good. Reports are out there. Andy.
So, Lindsay, I
overrated.
Hear you.
By the way, the
it's
way
like Jackson tonight.
What?
You asked right place, right time for all those rings?
Yeah.
I think
you think that's
think
the case with Wysick?
Something to that.
Yeah.
Not that he's not a good condition. Obviously, he puts together a good program. Right? What is dirty about that?
Nothing dirty.
He puts together a good program.
We tend
program.
To use the word program on this show to mean something other than just program.
No, in this case,
no,
though.
No,
no but
I,
it's
no,
always something.
Strength and conditioning program. Yeah.
He's won a lot. He's won it at least 2-3 times.
Yeah. No, he's. I think he's a good coach. I think that he's good at what he does. But I tend to agree with Eric in that that doesn't mean that no one else can do it. I think it's a situation where they have good players here.
Yeah.
Well, it also, they get credit for when a team goes through a season and doesn't have very many injuries.
Right.
And they get blamed too much for when a team does have injuries.
Well, in his case, they've never gone through a season, not since I've been here. We've had a...
But that's also
many,
stupid.
We've had
I mean,
a lot of injuries.
If you have a rash,
a broken arm, that's nothing to do with the strength of conditioning.
Torn ACL,
exactly.
Fractured hip.
Right.
All these, like, crazy injuries.
You break an arm, landed on, that has nothing to do with
it. I think, you know, the strength of the personality of your strength and conditioning... You know, guy is important, but I also think your veteran leadership is just as important. You know, when you have a team like with Rodney Harrison on it, who's urging guys to keep working out, that helps you as a strength and conditioning coach as much as anything else. You know, who are your leaders on the team?
So when Brady used to work out in the off season,
thank you, Kevin.
That was Rachel.
I really, really want. wanted
Ray
to
Ray.
Drop in.
Ray Ray.
I was signaling her. Paul didn't know what was going on. I wanted to drop. I haven't heard one.
What are you doing? You're flailing around. Your arm.
Put your headphones on. What are you doing?
The girls were worried
you're ruin your hair.
You know,
no, no. Get out. Are you worried?
A 12-year-old
yours, Eric? Oh, wait.
Oh, burn.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. No, she didn't.
Chick fight.
Fred, what were you going to ask me? You started to ask me something.
No, you were flailing your arm.
No, no, before you said Lindsay and then Paul rudely interrupted.
Oh, you play
Welcome to the Show.
Words with Friends or what is it called?
Yeah, and oh,
coworkers.
Can we talk about that, Eric, actually? Eric was bragging about his perfect record, and then I just totally just
you
shut
beat
him down.
Right. Oh,
shut
nice.
Him down.
By using words that don't exist.
Well, then the
welcome to my world.
Yeah, hello. That's how you're supposed to play Words with Friends.
Hold on.
Instead of
I apologize, Andy. I apologize.
They have to be accepted, right?
They do have to be accepted.
They do, so
then they
words.
Do exist.
Evidently, if you lose, you just bitch. That's
exactly.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
No, congratulations to you. You're
Thank
the first
you.
Person who's
Thank
ever
you.
Beaten me in Scrabble.
It was
and
very
who
hard.
Else have you played besides Andy?
Well, I've been playing my whole life.
There was that
oh, God.
There was that 13-year-old
so
girl in Egypt.
Before the comedy career and before he was in TV, he was a professional Scrabble player.
Right.
Not professional, but I've been playing since I was a kid.
Well, it's not paying off. I beat you.
Never.
You're the only person who's ever beaten me.
Oh, please. You've never lost a game of Scrabble ever.
No.
Oh, come on.
He just did to me.
Yes, that's the first one. Congratulations.
I've never lost a game of Scrabble.
And he averaged 58 yards a punt, and he had 55-yard field goals.
It's because he uses words like octopi. Like, who uses that playing Scrabble?
Well,
it's just
that's the whole point of Scrabble, is to use words that give you big points.
Whoa.
And yet you lost.
No, she played a good game. She had a good strategy.
I'm really fired up about that.
I'm paying you a compliment.
I know, I appreciate the congrats.
Oh, you're yelling it at me.
But now you're yelling at me
it.
Like, that's the point, to use big words.
By
it
the
is
way,
the
did,
point.
Did you get that? He's paying her a compliment by explaining how no one's ever beaten him in Scrabble.
I thought the whole thing was to somehow figure out how to use the letter X. And if you do that, you win. Right? No?
I use X.
Three Y.
X, Q, Z. Those
is
are
the
big letters.
The same
words
those are the big letters.
Same rules of Scrabble. You get points for words.
It is Scrabble, only in a digital format.
They just can't use the
name
Scrabble.
They just changed the name because,
Okay.
Because it started with Facebook a few years ago. There was a Scrabble on Facebook called Scrabulous, but they didn't have permission from Scrabble.
Oh,
so there was
Eric,
this
you're so Scrabulous.
Scrabulous.
I think she's mocking you.
You and your Argyle.
I'm not wearing Argyle today.
No one will know if you're lying. This is a radio show.
Wow. Oh, you're getting bitch slapped
by her.
Good, Lindsay.
Someone's filling her oats.
She has an unhealthy obsession with
what,
me.
What, Eric? What?
Obsession with
Ew.
Me. When I wasn't
I think
on the show,
goes the other way.
No. When I wasn't on the show, that all she talked about all show was me.
No.
On the legal documents I've seen.
I think you both have an obsession. She hates you, and you love her.
It's a love hate relationship.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like Moonlighting. Remember that sitcom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bruce Willis and what's her name?
Sybil Shepherd. Sybil Shepherd.
He was telling me about all his horrible jokes, like, the following Tuesday after I was on the show, that he tried to get back at me. Like, instead of three Ys, he was calling me, like, four Ys. Like,
four eyes.
Four eyes.
Four
eyes, because you wear glasses.
That's terrible.
I don't wear glasses very often.
You do
often.
Wear glasses.
Yeah, that's a new
but
one.
You do wear them.
How is that even, like,
he was
you,
funny?
You get negative points for that.
She's right.
That's how
I lost to her in Scrabble.
She may
I
not
negative
be a
points
former
for calling
stand-up
her.
Can you believe the stand-up career didn't take off?
Oh,
something like that. No, he chose to get out of it. It was just when it was taking off, he didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Here's where he gets mad.
But he was the first stand-up comedian.
Gets mad.
He would yell at his audience for not understanding the joke.
It's funny, damn it!
I'm so
have to
scrabulous.
Explain the joke to them, and then
I'll tell you when to laugh.
Exactly. Don't laugh now. That's not the punchline.
Oh my gosh.
So earlier, someone wondered what would happen if Tully Bannacane went into Bill Belichick's office, how that conversation would go. And Robin from Alaska has taken the time to write me a script.
Okay.
So now, are you reading both?
I'll play both parts.
I can log in and play the other part.
Oh, you want to do that?
The part of Belichick?
Okay, hold on.
The part of Belichick will be played by Fred Kirsch.
We're going over a little bit. We'll go over by a couple minutes to because Robin went through the trouble of doing this. So now Eric's going to log in. Here we go.
I didn't say anything.
It really.
She just is absolutely slapping you around.
Really?
You know what? It stops a fight.
It really is.
She's coming at you, Guns Hut.
Yeah. It's just too easy.
Guns Hut?
It's so easy.
Hut.
As in hot?
Oh, yeah. Good, Rachel. Good job.
Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Where is the
All right, who do you want to be? You want to be Belichick or Tully Bannacane?
You were supposed to be Belichick.
Oh, I'll be Belichick. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I say, Tully.
You're a smart kid, run well, pretty physical player, and I thought you'd be a great addition to our football team.
I have a clothing line and I rap.
I think that was no big secret. All right. Where that fits, we will have to wait and see how that goes with all the other players on our team.
Falk lacks pizza.
I don't know about that. I can't comment. Okay, whipping things right along. Well, we're digging into your performance now, and I'd say that one of the big things for you last season is just doing a lot of little things, and, of course, those make the difference in some close games. But
maybe I should dance.
We don't go through the hypothetical here. Okay, we just take the situations as they come up.
How long are we going here?
That's my line. That's it. Okay.
That's the script.
All right, Robin, you gave it a shot. You gave it a and scene.
Why does Tully have like a southern accent? Where are we going here?
Because he kind of does have a little bit of an accent.
No, he's decided that Tully has a southern accent.
That's how
accent.
I'm interpreting Tully Banta.
That rare right. Bay Area southern accent.
Creative license. Right? Anyway, Robin gave it a shot. Wasn't
that
a good
Northern
one, but that's all right.
California southern
the
accent.
The Bay Area southern.
That's right.
He's from the southern Bay
southern
Area.
Part of the Bay Area. Up north in California.
Southern North California when they break up, when the South
Lindsay
secedes.
Petrone. Oh, yeah, we can delete
All
that.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, stay logged on to Patriots.com throughout the day. As soon as news breaks, we'll have it up there. B-Low's down in Atlanta. We'll have Patriots today. These guys will be blogging. As soon as we hear anything, we'll have it on Patriots.com. Until then, we'll see you next Tuesday. Everybody report to the blood. Dance God. Boy, you know what it is, you know, hey, 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 hey,
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.